It's time for Twit. Is Google Glass a scam? John C. Dvorak thinks so. We'll talk about that. Haswell is on its way. We've got a date now. Apple stock price and more. It's all coming up next on Twit.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Audio bandwidth for This Week in Tech is provided by the new Winamp for Android, featuring wireless sync and one-click iTunes import. Now with free daily music downloads and full-length CD listening parties. Download it for free at winamp.com/android. Video bandwidth for Twit is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Twit, This Week in Tech, episode 403, recorded April 28th, 2013. HP Smelted. This Week in Tech is brought to you by SumAll. Easily connect your data from Google, Twitter, YouTube, PayPal, Amazon, Facebook, and more to gain important insights instantly. All in one beautiful interface. Start using it for free today at SumAll.com. And by Stamps.com. Start using your time more effectively with Stamps.com. Use Stamps.com to buy and print real U.S. postage the instant you need it, right from your desk. For our special offer, go to Stamps.com now. Click on the microphone and enter Twit. And by Gazelle, the fast and simple way to sell your used gadgets. Find out what your used Samsung Galaxy, iPhone, or other smartphone is worth at Gazelle.com. And by GoToMeeting with HD Faces from Citrix, the powerfully simple way to meet and collaborate with colleagues and clients anywhere. You can share the same screen and see each other face-to-face with HD video conferencing, even from an iPad. Sign up for your 30-day free trial today. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click the Try It Free button, and use the promo code TWIT. It's time for Twit This Week in Tech, the show that covers the tech world, the tech scene. And I think I can say this with some pride. We bring in some of the most intelligent pundits in the world to comment on what's really going on. Starting with, from Bloomberg Businessweek, Mr. Mark Milian.
You're still with Bloomberg?
Still with Bloomberg.
Okay. I just have to check.
It's been a little over a year,
first
actually.
Got to know you when you were one of the youngest guys at the LA Times. You started there as an intern, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then went to CNN, and now you're at Bloomberg.
Now Bloomberg. Very
great
happy.
To have you. It's good to have you. I haven't seen you in ages. Welcome.
Yeah, good to see you too.
Also here from the UK, from Oxford, Mr. Will Harris. Hey, Will.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
You're still doing Channel Flip?
Still doing the Channel Flip.
And you got a new channel, I see, with some unknown comic.
Some guy you've never really heard of. He's kind of obscure. He's a UK personality called Ricky Gervais.
He's going to be huge, I think, because I watched it, and I just wish he'd do more because he seems to be a very funny fellow.
Seems to be.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think maybe he's one to watch.
Yeah, he's an up-and-comer, as they say.
Yeah, so we have a new YouTube channel with Ricky Gervais, and it's youtube.com/RickyGervais, as you might guess.
Or Plump Lard.
Because that's lard.
Plump lard. So what's really interesting is not only is it Ricky Gervais doing some great stuff on YouTube, but it's Ricky Gervais as David Brent, the character he created for the UK office.
Yeah, so David Brent was like the original Michael Scott.
Oh, worse. Right? So, worse. Smarmy as hell. He was like the king of it.
Yeah, and he was also kind of an idiot, but really in a kind of self-knowledgeable way. And he said, Ricky said he would never do David Brent once he finished The Office in the UK. But, you know, we managed to convince him to bring it back. And he's got this kind of crazy, it's like 10 years on from The Office. What's David Brent doing now? And it's like he's still doing the repping, but he's also
so horrible.
Like a music company. And he's trying to like, he's signing like these like, you know, black rappers and these kind of crazy ethnic artists. And he keeps trying to put himself in the music videos.
Oh, I love him.
It's a bit, you know, cringeworthy. And awkward.
I love him. Oh my gosh, I'm so glad you got him back. So that's good. You're doing pretty well there, Will Harris. You've become a promoter, like
from the best.
You're the next Richard Branson.
Airline.
And then he freezes.
Coming up next.
Yeah, yeah, I want to see you. I want to see that would be good. The Will Harris Airline with where all the bathrooms are locked. Also with us, Mr. John C. Dvorak, wearing a lovely
It's an big dog's
of
shirt.
Your old days when
that is
you
a
used
gorgeous
to be
shirt.
At the tech TV and you used to wear these things, and then the suits told you not to.
You know, it's weird, though, because usually you don't make Hawaiian shirts out of flannel. That's kind of an unusual.
Yeah, I know. It's a little hot,
should
too.
Be satin, right?
It's flannel.
That's actually rayon.
Oh, that's rayon that feels like flannel.
I don't know how they made it this way, but it's like thick Chinese-style rayon.
I love it. Anyway, the week is here. You wrote, John, a great antidote. Robert Scoble's been wearing Google Glass for 2 weeks. He's polluted every social media stream I subscribe to with bad pictures through glass, all tagged with through glass. And he's given his review. He basically says it comes down to price. You, on the other hand, pose a very interesting question. Is Google Glass a world-class hoax?
Yeah, hoax.
Why is it? Why do you say that?
Well, you read the column. It's in PC Magazine last Friday. Check it out. Read it, because I got all the details in there.
Well, yeah, but for people who are watching this show.
Sergey Brin is a practical joker. We know that, right?
Yeah.
He's the one with the glasses all the time. Here's what triggered the whole thing. A couple of things. One was your grousing last show about Scoble getting glasses while he didn't have the same number, waiting list number you had.
Right.
And I started thinking about that. And then during the week when Eric Schmidt kind of backed off from even talking about
Eric
it.
Eric said it's not going to be out till next year.
Yeah, he was backing away from the whole thing. He didn't want to discuss it in any detail.
You say he can't maintain the joke he's cracking under the strain.
Yes, he is.
No, come on.
And here's the other thing. And that triggered one more thought, which was that I saw a presentation by Eric, I think it was at the University of Washington, where he was, and it was on C-SPAN, I wasn't at it, and he was showing his PowerPoints, and at some point he says, I have to be really careful with these PowerPoints because the guys, meaning Sergey and Paige, get a hold of this thing, and they put embarrassing slides up. So when he's given his PowerPoint, there's all of a sudden a goatsy or something.
Oh, God!
Which, you know, just grosses everybody out. And so I'm thinking, wait a minute, this whole thing looks like a scam, and here's one, and so then I added the two other elements, which was that, again, Scoble, who can be trusted to always like everything.
Yeah.
Scoble caught Sergey, if you remember, about a year and a half ago, roaming around somewhere with the glasses on. He took a couple pictures as though it was candid. And he says, oh, look at this. Sergey's got the glasses on. And then, like, I guess about 3 or 4 months ago, Sergey supposedly is in the New York subway.
Yeah, that was bogus.
A billionaire.
Yeah,
that can
riding
get
the subway.
You know, he should have two limos. He's on the subway.
He actually has two private jets.
Yeah, 267s. And so he, meanwhile, and they also have some
other stuff.
Yeah.
Submarine.
Hovercraft.
So here he is in the subway, and the guy who took his picture, coincidentally, is a wearable computer guy.
Yeah.
That
was a little bogus.
This is looking like a setup, I think it's out of control.
Well, there's no question they're making them because people are wearing them.
If you're going to take the joke, let's go for it. Take it right
Your contention is they have no intent of selling these.
They may or may not sell them, but whatever the case is, this is not going anywhere.
Robert Scoble says, I will never live a day of my life from now on.
See? Now this sounds like bogus.
Without Google Glass.
See, this is all part of the...
Like
this
bogus,
is a practical joke line. Because that's bull.
But people, real people have them, right? Not just the Scobles of the world. Real people have them.
Who's got them?
Actually, I don't know any real people who have them.
Well, come on, Will. Who's got them?
Some developers have them, but it's mostly Google people right now.
They're starting to open up. A few journalists have them. But what's interesting is I did last year. We bought glass.
Yeah, you got it.
And I have the reservation, but I have not heard word one about.
Was your check cashed?
No, because they don't charge you until they sell it.
Uh-huh.
I have lots of issues with glass, but I'm increasingly of the opinion that it's not just Google that's going to do this, that there are a lot of companies. In fact, we've seen a number of companies say, yeah, we're working on something similar. Wearable computing is the next big thing. You've got to admit that, John. Maybe it's a watch. Maybe it's glass. Maybe it's a headset.
Well, the phone is pretty wearable. I mean, I carry it in my pocket. It's kind of wearable.
Tim Stevens of Engadget has Google Glass. Is he pulling a joke on us?
I don't know.
I don't think
What do you
that
do
means...
with the glasses?
You wear them and you take pictures.
Apparently, that's all they do. They take crappy pictures.
They are kind of crappy. I mean, they're not bad.
I find it amazing that the teardown on this thing looked like it was like $200 worth of parts. And they're selling these for, what, like $1,500?
$1,500. And Robert makes the point, and I think this is true. We even asked this last week on Twitter. Well, how much would you pay if this were a product? And most people agreed that somewhere between $200 and $300 is the most they would pay for this. which is good because if it costs them $200 to make, that's about right.
Well, a regular pair of glass frames nowadays, decent ones,
yeah, a couple
300, yeah. maybe four.
Well, you go to Oliver Peoples, you get like the
these are not that
fancy
expensive
glasses.
But if you're going to pay $300, and by the way, I think there's a kind of, have you seen these glasses that actually change the focal length and everything in real time?
Yeah, they never got those out.
Yeah, I wonder why.
Yeah. They never were able. I talked to somebody who was an expert in the glass business. You know, there's only really, there's one company that kind
Luxottica.
Of...
Luxottica.
Yeah, Luxottica controls most mm-hmm. of this stuff, and mm-hmm. I think artificially jerks the prices up.
Oh, yeah.
By
yeah,
their monopoly. Got,
yeah, yeah, pretty much monopoly.
They own, you know, a lot of the chains like...
They own
know,
Oakley, and they do glass for yeah. Louis Vuitton and yeah. all the big brands.
They pretty much have it all.
Yeah,
and in fact, I think that this was the story I heard, is they couldn't get that because these guys who developed these self-focusing glasses had a hard time making them. We saw them at CES 2 years ago.
Right.
Or, more likely, couldn't crack the monopoly.
Well, whatever the case, Google's got the same issue, I'm sure. And we'll see what happens.
Well, I mean, they're not going to have the same issue, are they? Because they're not actual glasses. And as far as I'm aware, you can't actually wear Google Glass with glasses,
this is
right?
part of the problem. Because you and I mean, wear glasses.
This is a bit of a problem.
Most people
me.
Wear glasses.
Yeah.
Or they have contacts. Well, anyway, people, go to that column. It's PCMag.com. It's last Friday.
I've
got
on,
all
John.
The documentation.
It's such a blatant ploy to
I
get
got,
people to
it, no,
page
yeah.
views. Come on.
I mean,
do you really believe that?
Yeah. I'm totally Please sincere. You can't write a column like this and not nail it if you're not, if you don't have
the conviction, the courage of your conviction.
I don't see any evidence that it's not a hoax. And it's always Sergey. I mean, he's the hoaxer.
Yeah, you notice Larry doesn't talk about it at all.
No, he never talks about it, and you don't see him wearing
it. The CEO of Google is like, it's like they don't exist.
Yeah, they're saying, okay, Sergey, do your thing, whatever, we'll see what happens, but it could be bad.
Well, we've talked before many times about the issues with Google Glass. It's interesting, as the general public learns about it, I get a lot of calls on the radio show. We were talking about privacy. What happens if you wear Google Glass into a men's room? Robert Scoble, by his own admission, at least 20 times, walked into a men's room wearing a camera on his head.
Yeah. That would be Robert Scoble.
I mean, do we have any etiquette for this? Do you
we're
take them
like
off?
Them
he also
camp.
Says he wears them in the shower. He tweeted that today.
Yeah. Well, there's something wrong with
him. He is he is part of the scam.
He's not part of the scam. He doesn't have to be. It's easy to get Robert to say I like something.
You think he's a stooge is what you're saying.
Yes. That's a good word for it. I love Robert. Robert's an
Everybody
old friend.
Everybody likes Robert.
I have nothing
he's
wrong with him.
He's never said anything bad about anybody. I'll give him credit for that.
But
he's also never said anything bad about a product.
He says this is the most interesting new product since the iPhone, and I don't say that lightly.
What is that? What is it? Don't say it lightly. What does that mean?
But look at the pictures he takes with it. And this was
They're
kind of
horrible.
My problem.
Look at this thing. Is that a cat?
Well, it's on your eyebrow. So you don't, you know, it's like, I don't know. I just, to me, I don't know if people are going to walk around with that thing on their head.
Curry has a lot of these pictures posted on glassholes.curry.com.
I don't know that I'd walk around with that thing on my head. But if it was just like a smaller thing attached to a normal pair of glasses.
I think wearable computing is a completely legitimate category. I think, you know, we all understand how the smartphone revolutionized the world. The idea, and this seemed like impossible 10 years ago, that you would have internet access everywhere you go at any time if you wanted to look up a fact.
I'm not
if you're sitting in a movie theater and you say, what movie was that guy in?
Well,
and
that's
you've got
true.
It in your hands
yeah.
instantly. That's a revolution.
At least 10 years ago, if not longer, a lot of people that were in the business of not predicting, but the research
companies,
we all
thought this would
they
happen.
All say it would happen. So why are you now saying it's a huge surprise?
Just because how many things have they said would you know, flying cars to talking computers, we've thought a lot of things would happen. This one really did. And not only that, and this is probably more to the point, it really did change things considerably, I think.
I mean, agree with the change. There's like there's nothing's going to be the same in terms of that.
And so
but that doesn't mean you need something, you know, in front of your eyeball. You look like a Borg walking around.
Well,
you don't look like a complete crazed maniac. It's bad enough. You know, the number of things have changed you never saw in the past. I've always thought about this. One is people standing around holding an object way in front of them taking pictures.
Oh, you mean the iPad?
Well, the iPad or the phone or new cameras.
Right.
You
nowadays, you don't have a viewfinder.
Nobody's ever doing this anymore. They're always doing this. And the other thing is people standing around at airports, train stations, every place else, leaning somewhere with this looking like this,
right,
with a phone to their ear,
right,
which you've never seen. You know, you wouldn't have seen this 20 years ago.
I kind of wonder if we aren't really kind of all becoming badly addicted to this. Because I see a lot of people who cannot go 5 minutes without kind of pulling. And I'm one of them.
It's like the crack barrel used to be.
It's really addictive. And pulling out the phone and just, I see people walking down. You go out in Petaluma, watch people walk down the street. 50%, fully 50% will be looking at a phone, even if they're walking with somebody, right? It's universal. Is that good?
It is
for
really
us?
Crazy.
Is that
like
good
sometimes
for
you? No, I don't. I'm not sure it is, but sometimes you stand, you know, in an airport or stand, at a train station or something, and if you just stop for a second and just look around, like the number of people talking to each other is, you know, less than 10%. The number of people looking at something,
right,
or like tapping something is, you know, maybe 60%. And the number of people just kind of gazing blankly with something in their ears is like the other 40%. Like, it is crazy. It's this complete step change. And it's such a change that it makes me think that it's not inconceivable that in another 10 years' time, everybody will be sort of looking up into the right-hand corner of their vision, you know, at something completely surreal being projected onto them, you know. It's not that much of a leap, really, is it?
Well, I think it is in social situations when, you know, if
it's
I'm hanging out
social
with people and they have their phone in front of their faces, that those are people I don't want to hang out with.
So you're a younger person. You grew up with this technology in your life from, you know, early adulthood.
Since you was a baby.
Yeah, almost since you were a baby. What happens when when you go out with people of your age and your generation? It looks like everybody takes out their phone and puts it on the table. Is that the case?
It's pretty common.
Yeah. How many, and then half of them are checking into Foursquare as they're sitting down, right?
Or some variation
or
of Foursquare,
path,
maybe,
or
yeah.
Facebook, or somewhere. Is then the etiquette to, that's it, leave it alone?
It depends. I mean, if, you know, you'll have it on the table so you can check your messages.
Yeah. It's
and
hard,
there are some,
isn't it?
Some people will, you know, check it periodically.
And then it chimes,
but
and you, it's hard. Look, it's in your pocket and it's buzzing. Isn't it almost impossible not to pull it out?
To an extent, but, you know, I think my generation has probably started to build
maybe
up a tolerance to, you know, glancing down and then ignoring it for the most part. I think there are a lot of people who can, you know, my age that can still engage in meaningful conversation
really?
Without having something in front of their face.
Maybe
like
you're better
so.
At it than people in our generation who are still kind of enamored of the technology and go, wow, this is great.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they call, I think maybe people a little bit younger than me are supposed
Internet
to be
natives.
digital natives. The millennial generation,
right,
you know, has grown up with this and it's ingrained into themselves where, and a lot of them have more sophisticated techniques for internet privacy than we do.
Yeah.
They'll, you know, close down their Facebook accounts when they log off. They'll literally take them off
enough.
Of Facebook so that when they log back on, you know, their profile won't be visible when they're not actively checking
That's
the site.
So they've learned this. But then, or then the others who just don't care. And it's like everything's out
there. Seems to be most of them.
Look at Apple's clearly influenced by what's going on. This is the newest iPhone 5 ad that just came out a couple of days ago. Let's play this here. We're running around with our phones taking pictures at all times. This is a response, that if you ask me, to Google Glass. These are the things that were in the Google Glass ads in a way, right? For those listening, it's just really people with their iPhones taking a lot of pictures.
A lot of pictures.
Just
picture. And again, you know, the quality is it's actually better than you'd think it should be.
It's good, but I'm just saying,
but
people are experiencing
like
life through.
Would you throw away that OMD or whatever you have? And
No. I love my camera. But I do use my phone to take a lot of pictures.
I do too, but
More because it's connected. And because it's more instantaneous. I don't have to go home, process, upload.
Well, it's easy when you've got it. Like, it's the one thing. Like, you press the button,
every
you take
day,
the picture, it snaps
more
it straight to
Facebook.
Photos
are taken with the iPhone.
But, you know, the idea of pulling it off your camera and then putting it into your computer and then doing it from your desktop is like,
The copy,
it's so much work.
The copy, which we just missed, but it says more phones and this is true, are taken with the iPhone than all cameras combined. This has become the new camera.
The thing that I draw from that
that's different from what the ad is trying to say is, and we are experiencing life through the lens of this camera. The person at the concert who's not listening to the concert,
Well, did you see the video of the guy at the baseball game who's taking the video of the baseball game on the iPad?
Yes.
So this is amazing. I don't know if you can pull it up, Chad, but there's a video of a guy and he's got his iPad out like this and he's filming the whole baseball game.
What's he going to do with it?
He's clearly not paying attention. And the batter turns around and he swings this hit and the baseball just comes and smashes the iPad in front of this guy's face. And
he can't good. See it. And you know what? Everybody applauds.
There you go.
Boom!
Oh, that's awesome.
Well, nice shot, kid.
And he still has it in front of him.
It's a little Little League game. That's funny.
Yeah, his foul ball just goes right bam into the... And he puts it right back up, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Well, it protected him.
It did, actually.
Yeah.
It
yeah.
It's a digital shield.
Good idea.
Boom!
I think one of the important points about glass, I think the point that Eric Schmidt was trying to make in his speech is that we'll have to develop social norms to use it. I saw a tweet from Joe Hewitt, who designed the original Facebook app, who said, glass isn't necessarily the evolution of the smartphone. Maybe it's the evolution of the Bluetooth headset. And I could see, it being useful in certain scenarios, maybe hopefully not driving, but when you're out running or doing something where you don't have your hands easily available, I can see that being useful. But
sightseeing would be fun.
But wearing it in, when you're sitting down to dinner, I think is a little crazy.
I disagree. I do not think it's the extension of Bluetooth. I think it's a new way of thinking about computing. It really is wearable computing. And the more I think about it, the more I feel like this was the promise. Remember the guy, the MIT guy who wore
the camera?
Steve Mann? He was wearing a computer all the time, many years ago. And he was an early pioneer in wearable computing. And it's a different experience if the computer is a heads-up display, is part of your sensorium at all times.
Ooh, I like that word.
You like that word?
Yeah.
And I think that it's going to be a revolution equivalent to the smartphone revolution. It's the next step in the smartphone revolution. Scientific American had an article this week in which they talk about all the other companies that are working on this kind of thing. Gartner says there are about a dozen companies with wearable products in the works, many almost ready. So if it's a hoax, there he is, Steve Mann. Yeah, he's had some interesting things to say about Google
Glass.
Yeah,
I want to walk around looking like that.
Well, that was the thing about Steve that was amazing is he was totally willing to look like a dork. I mean, in the early days, he had to carry around a tower PC on his back.
Yeah. Yeah, this is the kind of this is your hero, apparently.
He is. Look at this. He is my hero because he was doing the research that I think in many ways kind of informed us as to what this could end up being. And it's really augmented reality we're talking about.
If he was raised in the suburbs, they'd be beating him up.
He might have.
Didn't
been
he say
up
this screwed up his vision, having
well,
a little screen?
Well, he pointed out,
face?
He did. He wrote an article saying glass, one thing you got to watch out for is the brain adapts to what it's seeing. And he mentions this famous experiment where a guy wore upside down lenses. Within a day or two, his eyes adjusted to the fact that he was, in fact, seeing upside down and saw right side up once again, because we, in fact, do see upside down. So our brain adjusts. And he said, your brain, sooner than you think, will adapt to glass, and you may have all sorts of side effects that you don't anticipate when you take it off. He said he often would get disoriented without his glasses on.
Well, we'll see what happens with Scoble.
How could you tell?
Whoa.
I'm dizzy. Yeah, well, okay. According to Gartner, Gartner, consider the source because they say crazy things all the time. But
not that crazy.
There could be as many as 10 million smart glasses sold worldwide by 2016. The key is going to be software. Actually, this is from IMS Research. They define smart glasses as wearable computers with a head-mounted display. But it's the same as mobile. That's, without apps, you got nothing.
It's such rubbish. I'm just going to start a research company that's like, WH Research says 20 million smartphone-enabled, glass devices.
Go for it.
Find it as though, by 2020. You've got no idea what that is.
But if you hit it, you're gold.
There's a company in Rochester, New York called Vuzix that makes the M100 smart glasses. Shipping now to developers can run any Android app. Developers, according to the CEO, are building augmented reality apps for the M100 in fitness, navigation, and gaming. These kind of look like Google Glass, and they predate it, and they're almost out. They may beat. So is this a hoax? They may be.
No, I think there, some people are doing this seriously. I'm just saying the way it's being, the way Google's going about it looks like a hoax.
Right.
It's got all the elements. It's got the checklist. The fake publicity. In fact, I remember in the show recently where Sergey goes on and says, anyone holding and playing with it with an iPhone or
is
emasculating. You should be wearing these very
silly glasses. Yeah. That's not emasculating at all. I am excited about the idea of wearable technology. What I do think that it is a very big challenge is what is the user interface? How is it going to work? Are glasses the right way? Is a watch the right way? Maybe there's some other way.
I think the phone is so popular. The smartphone is already, by the way, I think this last week is when it passed the feature phone.
That's right.
Total sales.
That's right.
It's a fine device. It works great. What more do you want?
Well, I think in a way. Oh, wait a minute. My phone
just went off.
I just got to see what that is. I think in a way, the ubiquity of the smartphone is like John the Baptist. It's paving the way.
John the Baptist.
He's paving the way for the future of wearable computing. It's the camel's nose under the tent.
I would credit that with Paul,
really?
To be honest.
John the Baptist? Really?
I believe John the Baptist was considered to be paving the way.
Well, maybe.
I believe that was the point of John the Baptist. Let me just check my phone. We're going to take a break.
Check that phone. Check that
phone. By the way, Seiko making smart glasses with their partner Scope AR. They've created the BT100 AR software for use in industrial training. For the first time, what the breakthrough is, for the first time ever, we've got the power, thanks to Moore's Law, to do augmented reality in something small enough to wear. And that's what the breakthrough is, in I think.
I talked to the CEO of Oakley about a year ago. And
they're
doing
it, aren't they?
Yeah, they're also working on sort of a research project.
And they'll be stylish.
Oh, yeah. Be looking good wearing these glasses.
One of the questions about Google Glass.
Chick magnet.
In the code... Somebody's looked through the code and found that there are gestures that would allow you, for instance, to blink to take a picture.
And get slapped, probably.
Yeah, that just looks creepy.
And
you can't wink in real life. That's just not a thing.
And then she says, take a picture, it'll last longer. And you say, I am.
Wink, wink.
Two-finger browser zoom.
How about the one-finger browser zoom?
Well, they've got like the head nod, right? In there, right? Doesn't it do the head nod?
Yeah, you're supposed to bop your head around like a maniac. You know, so you look like a complete idiot. Now, that's another giveaway to me.
Like, yeah. Glass, take a picture. Perfect for going to a concert. Like, glass, take a picture.
Zoom in, zoom out. And Glass has already been jailbroken. It has.
Of course.
Didn't take him long.
So that it allows you to do what after it's been jailbroken?
Put any piece of software you want on it.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Sure.
I want facial recognition because I'm getting old and I can't remember people's names anyway. Now I'll be able to go up to them. Hey, Jose, how are you? Good to see you. How's the kids? Jenny and Margie. Yeah. I see your birthday's coming.
That would be one use of these things.
I think that's a great
use. I think you're getting that data from the glasses. I grab them and say, oh, there it is. You big phony.
Who am I? What am I doing here? Hey, we got a new sponsor. I'm really excited about this company. A friend of mine, Dana Atkinson, who started Squarespace, has started it. It's called Some All. And you got it, Will Harris. You said, is that an Excel nerd joke? Kind of is. The idea
is. Yeah, totally.
It kind of is. The idea is we have a lot of data out there. And from YouTube to Twitter to Google to PayPal to Amazon, for us, it's all of our downloads, our views. Wouldn't it be amazing if there were a way to combine this and get insights from this data by this is primarily of use for a business. For us, it would be amazing to be able to combine views with social media campaigns, with posts, see what our e-commerce is doing compared to websites. SumAll combines it all into a very smart dashboard that can extract information. This has been around for a long time for big companies in a technology called business intelligence. Companies like SAS make these amazing dashboards, and companies can really see what's happening with the company and look ahead to see what's going to happen. This now is available to everybody free from SumAll.com. There's no fee. I think they'll probably think about a freemium model at some point, but for the moment, if you go to pricing at sumall.com, they say free. That's the price. Doesn't cost you a thing. This is an amazing 25,000 companies are using SumAll. By the way, they do have a pricing plan, but it's free for now. In other words, choose your plan later because they're not charging. Amazing what they're doing. That's a little hard to describe. So here's what I would suggest. Visit sumall.com and play with it. This is the era of big data. To figure out what's going on, these are all the services you can connect now, and they're adding more. By the way, this is not scraping these services. They have partnerships with all these services, so they're getting the numbers directly from the service through the API, updated in real time. So you can watch real-time graphs of how things are going in your business, get an idea of where they're going, get prognostication. Currently, they have deals with Amazon, PayPal, eBay, Authorize.net, Google Analytics, Google AdWords, Shopify, Bing, Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. More coming every single day. It's just a fascinating business to me.
I just think the amazing thing about this is, for doing like channel flip, all our data is in so many different places. Like you have to go to one place to get data about your Twitter account and one place to get your Google Analytics, one place to get your YouTube Analytics. The ability to combine all of that and then do kind of cross analysis across all of them, like that's ridiculously powerful. And it's the sort of thing absolutely. That really you had to pay like tens of gazillions of dollars for in the past. This is really staggering.
It's BI for the rest of us. It's amazing.
Tens of gazillions.
It's that much at least. Huh. Hack Five's using it to track their that's really cool. What Darren's doing with this is they're tracking e-commerce is really big for them. So they track the relationship between what they do on shows with the e-commerce on the site. Fascinating. I mean, these insights are priceless. They can change your business, and you can do it right now for free. SumAll is the name of it. SumAll, and we're starting to use it right now. I'm very excited about this. There's Robert Scoble in the shower. That is just a scary picture. The funny thing is, he's wearing the glasses.
Don't put it on screen, Chad. Don't put it on screen.
The BuzzFeed headline is, this photo of a man showering with Google Glass will haunt you for the rest of your life.
Oh, now I gotta see it. The funny thing is, it's not taken with glass unless somebody else in his family has
taken
Google
it in
glass.
A mirror. It might be a mirror in a shower. Censored.
Oh, maybe it's a mirror. Oh, you're right. It's a mirror. Robert actually does. It's not, I hate to say it, but it's not the first time I've seen a picture of Robert in the shower.
Really? What websites do you go to?
There it is. Oh, my God. That can't be unseen. I think you could. That's the new Goatsy.
That's bad.
That's not the new Goatsy. No, it's not. It's not that bad. it's a little weird.
That is a very white guy.
I love Robert. I have to say, no shame. And that's what makes him fascinating and fun. Worldwide Developers Conference. Apple is having it. It's coming in June 10th through 14th. Tickets went on sale April 25th at 10 a.m. They were sold out at 10:02. 2 minutes sellout. This is a new thing, by the way. The new metric that all the companies, Microsoft, Google, Apple, use for how popular they are with developers. Well, our developer conference sold out in 22 minutes. Ours sold out. So this is the new world record.
Well, they do that. Of course, they can pull it off because they give away at least as much as you're paying to go to the thing. I think Google's is...
Google does. Apple does not. Apple does not have to give developers
you nothing?
Crap, no.
Well, then why would anyone go?
Because you want to learn... Well, and I think this is not a surprise. First of all, there's only a few thousand tickets. It's artificially constrained. But also, think about how much money people make writing apps for iPhone, iPad. It is a land grab. I mean, there's a gold rush. It's going crazy right now.
Yeah, they get one-on-one lessons there, and they get to go to lectures, and they also usually get access to an SDK that other developers don't.
Ah, there you go. Well, that's valuable.
In 2010, WWDC sold out in 8 days. 2011, 12 hours. Under 2 hours in 2012. 2013, 2 minutes.
And by the way, 2014 already sold out.
It's already, there is no, yeah, exactly. In under 30 seconds less than, I don't know.
I think it just goes to prove that regardless of, the ridiculous negative quote reporting unquote around Apple's performance at the moment, developers are still super excited about iOS. They're super excited about the platform. Users are still spending more per, you know, more dollars per user on that platform than any other mobile platform around.
That's why.
And I think, you know, everybody is, you know, there's a great headline I saw today, which was, you know, Apple's next big product isn't hardware, it's iOS 7.
Right.
I think everyone is just super psyched to see what Johnny Ive is going to do with the new revision.
And that's what they'll be revealing in June. And we think flat, right? No more skeuomorphism, no more rounded corners, no more gradients.
Oh, dear Lord, we hope so.
I have, you know, I personally have done this in my Android platform. I stopped using the beautiful widgets, which had gradients and rounded corners, and now I'm using HD widgets, which are flat, flat, flat. See? Mm. And it's pleasant. It's refreshing.
Yeah, nice. Yeah, geez, like Windows. Windows 8.
Windows 8 started
stuff.
It. Yeah. Windows 8 started. But, you know, the reason they called it Metro is because they copied the subway signs. Where was it? The subway signs from Germany or somewhere. That's
but
why
they weren't French,
Metro.
That's for sure. I don't know what...
French Metro. Are Baroque.
It's not Baroque. It's Art Deco or short.
Deco.
Or actually Nouveau.
Nouveau.
So yes. They didn't get sued over it like Apple got sued.
No, they did.
The
apparently
Swiss.
There's some company...
Metro.
...that was called Metro dot something or other. And they
oh, yeah, they changed the name.
They threatened to sue them. And so then Microsoft just stopped using it.
Remember Apple got sued by the Swiss train company?
No, it's okay. I can unlock
it. For stealing the clock.
Right.
In iOS.
Right. Here it is. Metro Partner für Profis. This is the, I think it's a German, like, store chain. And that's why they had to stop using
it. Get this thing to even come on.
See if you can find the on-off switch, ladies and gentlemen. Let's start the timer, Chad.
Just push everything you can see.
It's not that hard, John. There's a button.
I've got the button. Is this the button?
That's the volume. That's...
What's where Samsung puts its buttons.
Yeah, Samsung puts its buttons on the right. And and a lot of older Android stuff, there's buttons on the top. Maybe John will figure that out.
Button on the top. Is that little button?
Oh, the button!
Oh, this big giant thing. It looks like the IR receiver. Why does it have to be so huge?
It's a new game on Twit. Let John find
I've
the
button.
Already
got it. I'm up.
And now, here he is, John C. Dvorak.
He turned...
It's like the Benny Hill show.
Yeah, well, if you had Yakety Sax.
Yakety Sax. That was Yakety Sax.
No, it wasn't.
You didn't hear Yakety Sax?
Is that Yakety Sax?
Sure it was.
I don't think so.
Yeah, it
was?
Definitely was.
Oh, yeah. He's British,
British,
he knows.
Well, he would. The authority on this.
So did you get your check?
What check?
Your $15 check?
From who?
From Apple.
No.
They're settling out the iPhone 4 antenna gate.
I never had an iPhone 4.
You had to go to Apple's site, and too late, don't try to do it now to get that big $15 check. You had to go to Apple's site and say, yes, I have problems with my antenna on my iPhone 4. No, I can't fix it. And no, I will not accept a bumper. And then Apple...
You should have told us this a couple shows ago.
I know. I didn't know. You literally had to declare, I have experienced antenna reception issues. I'm unable to return my iPhone 4 without incurring costs. I'm unwilling to use a case or free bumper for my iPhone 4. And I have completed...
I'm unwilling.
I refuse!
They could have just summarized that with... is it like that Destiny's Child song? It's like, no, I don't want no bumper, no, my cause I'm fine. Really?
Boy, I hope we don't get that again.
Just because of that, we're going to get pulled off YouTube. You realize that.
Yeah, that's true. You just you killed the show.
Pitch perfect. Power ID... By the way, the power button is an IR transmitter on that. 2 day points out in the chat room.
Oh.
You can use that as a universal remote. It's actually a great remote.
That's what it looks like,
too. It's like a Harmony One or something, because like you can program it to do tasks and the whole thing.
Logitech's killing the Harmony division.
Yeah, isn't that weird?
Why? They're spinning it on. They're making money on it, I thought.
I don't think they've decided yet.
I think they've got to spin it on.
That's probably because of these phones.
You think Logitech's not making money?
On the remotes, yeah, they want to get out of that business.
Wow.
It's kind of a shame.
I thought the Harmony family wanted to buy it back. Mr. and Mrs. Harmony.
They also started eHarmony, right?
Yeah, right. No, I think the people who founded it wanted to buy it back. I wonder what the story is on that. It does seem like that's a good business. The Harmony One is the definitive remote. The problem is it's too complicated. People, I don't know what the solution is. Maybe it's the smartphone. The Galaxy S4 will also have a...
You have a lot of stuff that you'd keep downloading.
I love applications. I'm app crazy. John's looking through my phone. But do you not like that screen, 1920 by 1080?
No, I love this. This is a great phone. You always have the definitive phone du jour.
I have ordered the Galaxy S4, but I don't know when it's going to get here because they're back ordered now because of component shortages. Tim Cook raised almost $300,000 for charity for the chance to have coffee with him.
Why don't you just call him up and make an appointment with the secretary?
Pardon me? I think it's over now.
Yeah, you can't bid, wow. Will.
Whoa, no, I'm sorry, wrong.
Still going?
$600,000. 84 bids. Well, it's for charity. So,
oh,
you know,
that's a shame because I bid at 425. I thought I was going to get it for sure.
Estimated value, this is what cracks me up, 50,000. So, you know, it's pretty valuable. You know, coffee with Tim Cook.
Oh, yeah. You might find out how he stirs or something.
This,
I don't know.
Auction, if you want. Yeah. charitybuzz.com/Tim Cook. If you want to bid, you have until May 14th. Current high bid, $600,000. That's a lot more.
I'd like to know who's making these bids.
Well, can you see?
That'd be a lot more interesting.
Oh, you can see.
You can? Who? What's the guy's name?
Let's see. The current high bid is from Povley.com, who bid against himself.
Wouldn't it have been funny if it was Bill Gates?
This guy's a moron. Wait a minute. The winning bid, now it says winning, is S. Mosen. But it's not. I don't think it's over. It's support for the RFK Center for Justice
and
Human
Mosen?
Rights.
Sam Mosen? You're kidding.
Do you know who he is?
No, I never heard of.
DrBluetooth.com. Khashoggi, ClearCrate.com, Marky Mark bid $555,000.
Mark Wahlberg?
You'd think
I
he would
doubt it.
Not have trouble getting coffee.
Akash Gupta. What's weird is like it looks like they're bidding against themselves. There must be other people in there.
Yeah, there's something fishy. Well, maybe they're. Well, some of these guys probably don't know how to bid.
$450.
I'll bid $475. Oh, I bid $475. I'll bid $500.
Who's got charity bidder 10?
So Tim,
password box.
So Tim Cook did this. He also just said that, so as well as doing this, Tim Cook just said that Apple's giving, what, $8 million to China earthquake relief?
I think that's great.
And I think it's really interesting because, you know, Jobs was really famous for not doing anything charity-wise at all, right? When he came back to Apple, he, like, cut all the employee charitable contributions, didn't do anything for charity.
Oh, Jobs, yeah.
Jobs didn't.
Right, right.
And one of the first things that Tim Cook did when he came on as CEO was, like, reinstate company matching for charities and start doing all this stuff off his own back. And it's kind of like a real mark of, I guess, the way that he sees corporate responsibility in a way that Jobs didn't quite.
And that's why Apple is over.
Is it Apple money or is it his money?
Well, this is Apple money.
It's
$8 million.
$8 million in in products. I think
it's
products. Products to school.
Oh, just Apple
3S. We're going to give you all iPhones. That is not great. Now,
somebody's in that hole. Toss them an iPhone.
So it says, aside from the cash donation, we to help the affected people to tide over their difficulties, we're committed to providing new Apple devices to schools in the disaster area, and Apple employees in the locality are on standby to help at any time. This is because Apple has had some PR problems in China.
Yes, I've been talking to a lot of people and doing a lot of research on this. In particular, China is, you know, their big growth story right now. I mean, this is something that they point to in every earnings call and in every Tim Cook in every public speech is very concerned about China because it's an up and coming market.
Right.
A lot of people are getting connected to the internet for the first time. Getting
That's where the future.
They have more people connected to the internet than we do as we speak.
That's true. Yeah. Than of all the U.S. population, actually. There's over
a billion people connected
over half a million or half a billion connected to
China. Yeah, I think it's half
China.
A billion.
We recently launched about a week ago a new section on our website called Global Tech, Bloomberg.com/Global Tech. And one of the big topics we've covered in addition to Foxconn is Apple going into China has been a huge story for them. And there's, you know, a lot of questions about whether this is something that can save the stock. They've been pointing to it quite a bit. Apple stock has had some troubles recently. But in lieu of, you know, launching some new products, it's China has been the story.
Did you write that headline?
I did. Yeah. You like that?
That's the best goddamn headline I ever read. HP smelt it. Time for the tech industry to deal with it. And of course, they're talking about smelting.
Yeah, the HP.
Smelting.
That may be the best tech headline I've
Thank
ever
you.
Read.
Thank you.
HP was the first information technology company to disclose its full list of smelters that are used in its supply chain.
Is smelting a big source of pollution?
Smelting is a big source of pollution, yes, and also sort of almost the root of a lot of the labor violations that happen when they're developing your smartphone.
Not the ore mines, but the smelters.
Well, the HP's point of view is that if you start putting pressure on the smelters,
they get the ore.
They will start to be more responsible about which miners they work with. Also, a lot of smelters own mines, so it's an important step for companies to start.
A good section. That's a good idea. I like the tagline, the 57 million square miles that aren't Silicon Valley.
Yeah, covering 57 million square miles outside Silicon Valley, because there's so many blogs and so many sites out there covering what's going on here, which granted is important and we do it too, but there's a whole other world of startup. I mean, just like look at London's tech scene is way undercovered, and we've got our reporters there. Amy Thompson is one of them who's starting to do some great reporting there, so we want to just,
we really live in a bubble here in Silicon Valley. It's this is all that matters. This is all that counts. Hi, John.
A lot of people love to learn about our bubble, but this thing there's a lot more out there.
It says you're a boot. It says right here.
No, I think that means that my skin is like leathery, like tanned, like
and
boot
you also,
leather.
You could be one of these.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Is that Google goggles?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I never played with it
not
before.
Not perfect. Dude, that was the technology.
It gets
that
all the logos.
It will almost certainly be built into Google Glass.
Yeah, that's the idea. They want to map everything. And so CIA doesn't have to pay any money.
It has face recognition technology, but Google blocked it.
You heard me.
It's the CIA. It's all a plot.
It's
You've
no
been doing
plot
way too
involved.
Much with this Adam Curry guy. He's really
it's
smoked
no plot
your brain.
Involved. You talk about the noagendashow.com?
Yes, I'm talking about noagendashow.com. All right, Apple's quarterly results are out. It was one of those cases where the world was preparing for gloom and doom. But was it gloom and doom? And what is the future for Apple? And is Tim Cook being fired? No.
Why would Tim Cook? Is this like Ballmer getting fired?
It's somebody started a rumor, a Twitter rumor. Well, we'll talk about it in a second. You're watching This Week in Tech with John C. Dvorak, channeldvorak.com, and, of course, noagendashow.com. It really wouldn't be a show without plugging noagendashow.com.
I agree with that.
What are you talking about this week on No Agenda Show?
Oh, just media falling apart. It's useless.
It is useless.
Yeah, that's what we think.
Media sucks.
We talked a little bit about that little event that took place in Washington.
Butter and Eggs Day?
No, the douchebag fest that was called the foreign course.
Where Conan spoke.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he had a couple of good lines.
I like the film that they had with Spielberg saying, I've done Lincoln, now Daniel Day-Lewis is Obama.
That was actually pretty decent.
That was funny.
But the earlier one done by the head of the Fox guy, that long-winded one that was about House of Cards, did you see that
video?
I didn't
see that, no.
That was at the beginning. It was terrible.
House of Cards is the best show about Washington ever.
Yeah.
I love that.
It's awesome. I'm actually rewatching it right now.
I am too. You know, it's so funny that you should say that, because it's a whole different quality watching it again. I started with episode one last night, and it's actually now it's better the second time.
Yeah, there's all types of foreshadowing even in the first episode.
When you get to the sixth time,
it's really
you get it finally.
I am not one of those people that buys DVDs and watches things obsessively over and over again. I don't want to see a show once I've seen it, and I would not have watched it, but Lisa hadn't seen it, so we started, and it's actually. It's so better good. The second time because you know what's going on there's all this deep stuff.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Amazing.
Great show.
Kevin Spacey's going to be on, actually.
This show?
I don't know what show he'll be on, but I talked to Dana Brunetti, who produces it, friend of the show. Kevin's a fan of the show. And I said, when that came out, I said, this is great. We got to get Kevin on. And he said, he's on vacation, but why don't we get him on before the second season comes out? So right before the second season, Kevin Spacey.
I want to sit in the audience. Let me know when.
He's an amazing guy.
It's awesome.
Great. We will talk about Apple's quarterly results and more in just a bit. Mark Million from Bloomberg Business Week is here. They want me to say Bloomberg Business Week, but I won't do it. I just don't think it's right to call it Bloomberg Business Week.
The droopy dog, in fact.
Droopy dog. Bloomberg
Breaking
Business
out the
Week.
Either that or Lieberman, one of the two.
Lieberman sounds exactly like him. I kind of miss Joe on the political scene. Cause it really was like having droopy dog talking to you. Also here, Will Harris. ChannelSleep.com. How'd you get that Ricky Gervais guy? Did you load him up with dough? Is that what you did? Or did you load him up with booze, cash, and women? What was it?
Well, a little bit of everything.
Ricky.
Why not?
I just love him. He's great. He's great. Our show today brought to you by Stamps.com. Stamps.com means you don't have to go to the post office anymore. And if you're in business and you do a lot of mailing, you know, I don't have to tell you. I don't have to say anymore. That is a great thing. The post office just slows you down. Wouldn't it be cool if you could print postage on demand? I'm not talking a postage meter. Yeah, that's been around for a while, but you got to lease it. It's expensive. And guess what? It runs out of postage. You have to bring it to the post office. No, I'm talking about never going to the post office again with Stamps.com. Use your computer, your printer. Print shipping labels with the postage on it. Print right on envelopes, postage, return address, recipient's address, even your company logo. All in one fell swoop. You can take those addresses right from your address book, from QuickBooks, if you're using it for, you know, invoicing or mailers. Maybe you do fulfillment at eBay or Amazon or Etsy. Stamps.com is great for that. It'll take the address right from the website, print it out. They've got the great printer. I got one right here. This is their USB printer. They have others as well, but this one I'm going to show.
Scale.
Did I say printer? That's a scale. There'll be nowhere for the paper to come out. You're right. Thank you, Chad.
Scale for what? Oh, for
what?
Stamps,
for your postage. So it's a USB scale. You're right. That's a good question. That's a legitimate question. Why do I need a scale? Hmm. I'm not cutting meat here. No, but you put this on your computer, and then you plop the letter or the package on there, and Stamps says, that is exactly. I still get from companies, big companies, postage due mailing. That's just not, it's not okay. You don't want to do that to your customers, and you never will again with Stamps.com. Even if any class of mail, even if you do international mail, they fill out the forms for you. If you do priority or express mail, they got discounts you cannot get at the post office. And even after you've got the package all looking pretty, ready to go, you've emailed the client, the customer, here, you know, your package, here's the tracking number. Even then, you don't have to get up and go to the post office because Stamps.com, no problem. Postage mail carrier just comes and gets it. You can even schedule free pickups anytime. I love Stamps.com. I know you're going to like it, too. That's why we've arranged a very nice trial offer for you. First of all, visit the Stamps.com website. Take a look. Learn about all the things you can do. Then click. You see a special offer there that looks pretty good? The $80 spent. Click the microphone in the upper right-hand corner and use our offer code TWIT. Suddenly that $80 value turns into a $110 value. More postage. More free postage. $55 in postage coupons you can use over the first few months of your account. That digital scale, the $5 supply kit, the 4-week trial, it's all yours from Stamps.com. But you just have to use the offer code TWIT. We love them. We know you will, too. If you do mailing for a living or as a part of your business, you got to try Stamps.com. We, on Tuesday, you know, Apple did its quarterly earnings call. And we, of course, they did it right after Mac Break Weekly. Some say they're waiting for the stock market to close. I think they're waiting for Mac Break Weekly to end. But I what we talked about on Mac Break Weekly is we did a little counseling because it seemed like everybody, stop it, everybody in the world, that was my phone tinkling, everybody in the world was saying this is going to be it. This is when everybody, the world is going to, it's over. Apple's over. But of course, you forget, Apple is very smart. They load the dice by lowering expectations. So, once again, they beat the analysts' predictions. Analysts thought that Apple would have $41 billion in revenue. They had 43. And I think they sandbag the analysts. I think they tell them stuff to make them think it's going to be worse, and then they come out with a bigger.
It's an old trick.
Yeah. Well, and Apple does it every time, and it fools them every time.
It's
earnings
like
of $10.
Lucy in the football.
It is, isn't it? Not again. Oh, they did it again. And $9.5 billion of profit. Now, this was the thing people were worried about. First year-to-year drop in profit in over 10 years. 18% drop in profit. Is this significant? Is it just a, you know, kind of partly a reflection of the maturity of the market? Apple did sell 37.4 million iPhones, 19.5 million iPads. That seems like a good number. 4 million Macs during the quarter, 5.6 million iPods. iPods slowing way down, of course. iPhone sales flat from a year ago. iPad sales up from a year ago, up a lot, from 11.8 million to 19.5 million. And Mac sales flat, as I mentioned, iPod sales down. The big issue for the stock market, besides the drop in profits for the first time, or drop in profit growth for the first time, was the drop in margin.
Yeah, that's what hurt the stock.
You know, they had 47% margin last year at this time, 37% this year. Is that something to worry about?
They're giving investors another $55 billion, or a total of 50. They upped the dividend.
They upped the dividend?
Yeah.
And that makes investors happy. In fact, Apple stock has gone up since this.
Day of it didn't offset.
They're doing a big buyback, too. That's a big deal.
Yeah, I think they did a really, really clever thing by saying, you know, everybody was saying going into this, the big issue is going to be Apple's margins going down. And it's going to be the fact, you know, the stock is going to tank because its profits are going to be down year on year for the first time. And I think Apple really successfully completely changed the narrative. They just said, okay, we know all this is going to happen. We know our margins are down 10%. What can we do? They announced the biggest stock buyback in history and gave an extra $55 billion to investors. And suddenly all the financial headlines are Apple does biggest stock buyback in history and gives $55 billion to investors. And everybody forgets like the fact that they've lost 10% off their margins and the stock goes up.
Well, also there'll be less shares outstanding, so it's going to naturally go up. But I think there's going to be a triple play here. I think they're going to announce a huge stock split, which always drives the stock up.
So here's the, and we're not stock analysts and we're not giving you stock advice, but here, if you look at the graph, this line here, which is really a sudden drop in stock value and then a sudden spike in stock value, that's when they announced the results. It's gone back down, but then climbed ever since. And it's a pretty steady growth over the 5 days after the announcement. I mean, it's not bad.
Looks not like bad. The, looks like the big short is just ahead of us.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Now, you, I'm sure, because you do that podcast, you still do that
finance. DHUnplugged.com.
Yeah, DHUnplugged with David Horowitz.
No, no, not David Horowitz. Is the right-wing commentator.
With Andrew Horowitz, yeah. His brother. No, he's not related. But Andrew's a pretty smart guy. But
he's a money manager.
And I know you talk a lot about shorting and how the shorts often try to influence news to bring the price down.
Yeah. Well, together,
what's going on here?
The bulls influence news to bring the price up. I mean, it's just not an uncommon situation. No, I don't think that's what's going on. I think the stock's genuinely going up.
Yeah.
But Apple's using every trick in the book.
You saw Henry Blodgett say the bull case for Apple, why Apple's stock is not as doomed as some think. He's obviously, at least in the short term, he was right. And then the Forbes, Peter Cohen writing in Forbes saying, Apple is more doomed than you think.
It's always going to be both sides of this argument in the press, and people read both of them and they try to make a decision.
The interesting thing is that both sides were in Forbes. They had articles going back and forth calling the other.
Was Blodgett in Forbes?
No, no. Forbes
wants
Mark
this
Rogowski
to go on, right? Because the more you need to know, the more you're going to read Forbes. But I thought Cohen's points were very interesting. So he lists the reasons why. He says the
By
stock-
the way, that's an Apple hater, or he wouldn't have that old Mac up there with a screen like that.
Oh, yeah, just the fact that he has this 1984 Macintosh as the image
for that article tells
you something, doesn't
it? Yes, it's biased.
But all right, well, then destroy these points. The stock overpriced, its PDE is 9.
What's wrong with that?
Compare that to Amazon or
Facebook. 9 is a good PDE.
Yeah.
In fact, it means the PDE generally reflects the annual growth, which is 9%. That's low. Apple could do better than that.
He says, if you believe that a stock is cheap when its PDE is less than its earning growth, then Apple's very expensive because earnings are shrinking at a very fast rate. I don't understand that stuff.
That's disingenuous.
Apple has nothing new in the... Yeah, Microsoft, look at that. Apple has nothing new in the pipeline.
Right? 16 times price.
Right.
We don't know that.
Yeah, nobody knows that.
Well, what could they have that's new that would... So there's a lot of talk right now.
Apple TV?
Well, I think...
There's a lot of talk right now about the new iPhone 5. Go ahead, Will.
Well, I was going to say, you know, everyone keeps saying, you know, Apple's in this quiet period or Apple hasn't got any new products. But if you look at, you know, the last two big products it's had, it did the iPhone in January 2007. It did the iPad in April 2010. Like, that's 3 and a little bit years. So we're not actually due another big Apple product for like another 2 or 3 to 6 months, right? So I don't get this whole, you know, Apple can't come up with another killer product. Well, they do one about every 3 years.
Are
so
they do?
We'll see one this year.
So I keep seeing a huge amount of conversation about the iPhone 5 having fingerprint reader, 5S or whatever they call it, the next iPhone. Having fingerprint reading and a bunch of information seeming to tie the fingerprint reading to Apple's Passport wallet, and some saying Apple's going to make a big play for identity this year. That suddenly, if you don't have an iPhone, you can't validate your identity, you're out of luck. You're using Android, can't buy anything here.
That's what American Express and MasterCard did back and forth for a while.
Really?
Well, you know, you can't go to the Olympics. You can't buy anything at the Olympics.
And they don't take American Express. They only take Visa.
Right.
That would make sense. I mean, they bought Authentic last year.
The fingerprint scanner.
The fingerprint technology company. I think they were the biggest in that space. So that would be a logical move for them. I could see it being actually pretty cool in terms of security. You know, there's a lot of talk now about two-step authentication. I think, you know, having fingerprint technology tied to that somehow, you know, you have an app for Facebook that ties into fingerprinting, so you have a secure login, could be really interesting.
You know, before you know, somebody else brought this up with me, and I had to point out, I'm going to point it out again. We had this this sort of authentication fad, I believe, about 10 years ago, to the point where I have a laptop at home. I don't use it much, but it's got the little fingerprint thing on the laptop.
Yeah, Lenovo was doing that. Yeah.
Well, Toshiba was doing it.
These at Bloomberg.
Wow.
These,
whoa. Can I show people called, this, or is this top secret?
Yeah, go for it.
So,
it's called the B unit.
You have to carry this. Is this how you get into places?
Yeah, this is how you get into the terminal. Fingerprint.
Instead of, into the terminal, not merely into the
Bloomberg
office.
Bloomberg terminal.
So the terminal software that I'm running right here to get
that allows
my email
you to post articles, write, get email. Yeah. So is this is a fingerprint scanner?
Yeah,
or thumbprint? Is that how you do it?
Thumbprint. Running? So
if I chopped off like your thumb and carried it around in my pocket,
try putting.
Go
your
ahead
thumb
now.
On
so
it.
It's saying, okay, you want to write an article for Bloomberg Businessweek? Put your fingerprint right here. Bad verify. Now go ahead. You put yours there. ID valid.
ID valid. So,
unbelievable. This technology is amazing.
No, wait a minute. I have tried a lot of kind of consumer-grade fingerprint readers, and they're not that good. This is pretty quick and it is apparently accurate.
No, these have been good.
Have you had any
last
trouble with this?
Sometimes, like, if I've just come out of the shower or washed my hands, my thumbs are, you know, I guess the water kind of rubs off.
So yeah, exactly. You got to wipe it like this.
So they say you can kind of, like, breathe on your thumb.
Right. And I remember some fingerprint authenticators, people were faking them out with Play-Doh and other, fake fingers.
Sounds like a Mission Impossible.
You've been watching too many movies.
No, I swear to God, I read that somewhere. Mike Elgin said the I in iPhone will stand for identity. This is a breakthrough feature. He was writing in the Cult of Mac, and I like Mike a lot. Do you think that this is, you know, it's an interesting point. If you put fingerprint in and you put NFC in, so, and then you use Apple's wallet technology and put your credit cards in there, suddenly that makes the iPhone a pretty useful tool. And it beats, in many ways, unless Android phones start putting chips in. The advantage Apple here has is that the Android, top of my Android phones just came out. Has it died?
No, there's no power to it, I think. So the
I'm sorry. Well, you don't need that. It's just a computer. Don't you have your smartphone with you?
You got your Google Glass?
I was on the chat room. I was communicating with the public at large.
Burke, do we have power for... yeah. This is the first I'd heard about this, but because of Authentic, I think the purchase it makes sense. Elgin says it would be the beginning of a multi-device identity method that would allow you to access any of your iCloud content and settings on any enabled device, just like that Bloomberg terminal key.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have that to access the Bloomberg terminal and to get in there and to get your email and all that. Imagine that same thing, but it's on an iPhone. I think that's actually pretty compelling.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
Until you break the iPhone.
Yeah, what if you lose your phone?
I'm not sure I agree with that. Is it that compelling? I mean, Apple doesn't really want you accessing all your Apple stuff that lives in iCloud or whatever from wherever you want. They want you accessing it from your iPhone and your iPad that you always have with you. So I'm not sure that they would really want to encourage you to be able to go and get all this stuff from everywhere. They want it just in the devices that they're selling, that they're making the money on, right?
Well, this answers the question, does Apple have anything new in the pipeline? They may well. I don't think they have Apple glasses. They might have an iWatch.
Apple Watch, yeah. We've reported that they're working on that.
Yeah. You're pretty sure of that?
Oh, yeah.
I've had this Pebble. It just died, by the way. So it went about a week.
It just died?
No, it went about a week with one charge. I was seeing how long
it
would go.
You have to charge it.
Yeah, but that's not a big deal if it goes a week. You just put it on here.
Huh.
You have to wind your watch, right?
I have self-winding.
Oh, state of the art. And this did a lot of the things that a smartwatch might do. It buzzes you when you get a text or an email, Google Talk. I can control music playback with this. But it's not hideously useful. I mean, it's not like, wow, that's so great because I know what the text message is.
Hideously useful. That's a phrase I've never heard. What does that mean, hideously useful?
Well, it's a superlative. Fit your superlative here. Useful.
Okay.
Hideously, I don't know. You've never heard that?
Hideously.
Did I make that up?
She's hideously beautiful, that woman.
That makes sense.
That makes no sense.
Sai's asking, why is Will Harris's YouTube address Ricky Gervais? Because he is Ricky Gervais. Many people don't know that.
Yeah, a little makeup.
Yeah. Would you
did they miss the beginning?
Huh?
They missed the beginning, do you think?
Yes, they did. Of course, he just tuned in. People do that all the time. Yeah. So what do you think, Will? Would you I mean, this pebble's cool. Somebody said in the chat room it's going to be in my drawer within a week, and he's probably right. He's probably right.
Yeah. Now, you know what? I have the complete kind of opposite reaction. And it was interesting, you know, hearing Mark saying earlier about like the social etiquette now of being in different situations. I'm on like a real crackdown to not spend my whole life looking at my phone, or not spend my whole life, like the second someone texts me or the second I get a little ding on my phone, not being like, oh God, what is it? I have to check it right away. I'm trying to like discipline myself to like check my email like once an hour. Right. And turn off push notifications and try and like live a little bit more in the moment. That's kind of my sort of resolution at the moment. And so the idea of like a watch that's just going to like bing me all the time. No, like I have a really nice watch. I don't want some, you know, pardon the language, but some crappy kind of plastic.
I'm with him.
Well, look at this. Isn't this state of the art? It's got a rubber band.
$1,000 on really nice, you know, gorgeous watch.
Look, you can do this. Can you do this with your watch? Can you do that? It's just like a rubber band. And then
you get one with like the slap band.
It's engraved Kickstarter edition. Hey, pretty sweet. Mm-hmm. And it's only, you know, a little thicker than the normal. It's ugly, and I'm not going to wear it after about a week.
It's gorgeous.
It's not ugly. It's not attractive.
It's hideously attractive.
Hideously attractive, exactly.
So, Will, has your social experiment, has that improved your quality of life?
Massively.
Really?
He's full of it.
Yeah. It's been...
totally.
No, I really try. And so I have like a new rule, which is in if we have meetings at work, like nobody can check their phone during a meeting. Like everyone's...
Yeah, or what? Are you going to fire me? Them?
You're fired.
You chucked out of the meeting.
Kick him out of the meeting.
It's like, go. If you know,
buy a scrambler and put it in the room.
Yeah. So we do that so everybody's more focused on what they're doing. And I don't spend all my time, like, replying to email as it comes in is really inefficient because, you know, in the time that you're writing an email, like, three other people have replied to the thread and either contributed or solved it or something else. And so it's like, just do it every hour. You can blitz it. The other thing that I did was get Mailbox for the iPhone.
Yeah, I like Mailbox, yeah.
And I stopped using email on my desktop. And now all the email I do is just Mailbox on the iPhone once an hour. And then you don't get distracted by it when you're actually working on a computer.
I think that we all do these kinds of things from time to time because we all feel overwhelmed by email, is a good example, by email.
Yeah.
And it just doesn't work. But then...
I've got another mega pro tip for you, which you might enjoy, Leo.
Okay.
Which is, I'm pretty sure I saw Kevin Rose put this on Twitter, which was that people don't mind really short or slightly rude or one-word replies if they come from your phone. Like if they say send from iPhone. So I just tell everybody that I know, just put on the bottom of your email client on your desktop, sent from my iPhone. And then you can just send one-word replies.
Make it your signature.
Yeah. It's my signature.
And
yeah.
Just answer everything OMG. Sent from my iPhone. Everything.
Or I do this a lot, write complete and utter nonsense, and then make sure it says dictated from my iPhone.
It's an old
using
joke.
Siri.
It works great.
That would work, yeah.
They just That's assume the you said something intelligent.
Siri.
Yeah.
Blame Siri.
Yeah. I correspond. I think Kevin was the first to do this, but I correspond with a number of people who have a signature that mentions a site, which is not coming up for me right now, two sentences. where it explains my email policy. They usually say in their signature, my email policy is here. And what it is basically I will not respond with more than, here's three sentences. Email takes too long to respond, resulting in continuous inbox overflow. The solution, treat all email responses like text messages. And so my personal policy is three sentences or nothing.
And you send that out? I think it's rude. You know what it reminds me of?
It five sentences if you want more.
What reminds me of is you send somebody an email, you know, you got their name, and they say, sorry, out of the office, auto reply. And then they give you all this bull crap, and when they just sent you a note. So you send it back to them, and they're not really out of the office because they do answer. And
so you turned on vacation and left it on.
Or they don't want, they're just being selective. They're looking right at everything, but they're, yeah, you know, I can deal with this later. I don't like it. Just don't answer.
I think there's no adequate solution. I think email's broken, but we don't have anything to replace it.
It's been broken for a long time.
Yeah. So it's challenging. Let's put it that way.
OMG. I'm just saying OMG. Just put OMG on everything.
OMG and send for my iPhone.
Yeah. Perfect.
Yeah.
You're done.
OMG.
I guess you misunderstood what I was talking about.
Perhaps you didn't understand what that meant. Our show today brought to you by Gazelle.com. If you've got a phone, maybe like Will Harris, and you don't want to use it anymore, you can get cash for it. That phone's worth cash. Or maybe, much more likely, you're all excited about the Galaxy S4, the HTC One, or the Lumia 928, that there's a new phone on the horizon. Or maybe a new iPad on the horizon, or iPhone 5 on the horizon, 5S. Maybe now would be a good time to get a little quote on your old phone. I'll tell you why you want to do this at Gazelle.com. Because that quote's good for 30 days. So you don't have to act on it right away. You're just getting the best price right now because none of this stuff is gaining in value.
Locking in the price.
Lock in the price. Look at this. For a limited time, get an extra $10 for your iPhone 4S. They know people are trading up, getting ready to trade up for the iPhone 5S, presumably. New iPads on the way, too, we hear. So let's say you have... I know what. I have my old third-generation iPad. It's already a generation old. If a new one comes out, I'm definitely going to buy this thing. Let's just see what this 32-gigabyte AT&T in good condition iPad is worth. $250? 250 smackers? 250 shimoleons? That's hideously amazing.
You think
there.
That's high or low?
No, that's great. Are you kidding? For that thing? It's great.
It's a dog?
Well, No, it's old. It's old, and that's not if it's.
Do you ever use it?
No.
Why don't you sell it now?
I think that's a great idea. Now, here's the deal. I'm going to say, yes, I'm selling it. Gazelle's going to send me a box with shipping label on it. They pay the shipping on anything worth
that's
more than
a plus.
Box. Throw it in, but as long as I got the box, maybe I'll throw this Pebble watch in there, too. A few other things. Just add to this.
You almost broke the watch right there.
You can't break it. It's made of rubber. Yeah. Look at this. All these phones. Actually, they don't take Pebble watches for the moment anyway. I think if there's a brisk market in Pebble watches.
It's very plasticky.
Yeah. Well, it's the idea that counts. Maybe. It's a Kickstarter campaign. It was the most successful Kickstarter campaign of its time. Well, I'll tell you about that. What was that? $175 for what? Your guys three? Criminy. That, you know, with $30 more, you got a brand new S4.
Did you say criminy?
Criminently.
Huh.
Yeah. So here's the deal. Go to gazelle.com. Get money for your gadgets. If you want the new phone, you got a chance right now to get cash. And that offer is good for 30 days, so do it now because it's not getting more valuable. By the way, they will wipe your data for free. They even up the offer if the phone is in better shape than you said it was. To date, Gazelle has paid $100 million to over 500,000 customers. You should be one of them. Fast shipping. And by the way, the processing is almost instantaneous. And you will get a check or a PayPal credit or, in my opinion, the best way to do it, get that Amazon gift card because you get an extra 5%. Sell your gadgets the fast and easy way. Gazelle, GAZELLE.com. And we thank them for their support of this week in tech. Mark Millian's here from Bloomberg Business Week, from Channel Flip. Mr. Will Harris, also the new Ricky Gervais channel on YouTube. That's awesome. That's why his YouTube handle is Ricky Gervais. Because he is the boss of Ricky Gervais. Did you get to work with him?
I don't really get to do any of the interesting stuff. We have like a team of creative people that get
Answer
to go
no.
into all the meetings and the shoots and the productions. And I just do the Excels and the PowerPoints.
That's why you need some all.
You should show up.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's my rock and roll celebrity.
You should
lifestyle.
Show up at his house, knock on the door.
Hey, Ricky, I'm your boss. I'm doing the spreadsheet. Let me in.
Yeah.
Let me in. John C. Dvorak's also here. And we are talking about the latest Google Fiber. There's a telephone company in Vermont that's offering $35 a month gigabit internet service. What?
Good for them. It's about time.
I think that's the point of Google Fiber, though, isn't it? To put the screws
we're hoping
to these ISPs.
Laggards.
Because we have the worst. I mean, not the worst, but, you know, they're among the developed nations, among the worst.
You're 16th, I believe.
16th in internet service.
Yeah, sucks.
It's terrible. And
we should all have fiber. It's no big deal.
It's easy. There's plenty of dark fiber underground.
Yeah, and they just need to string it. But people will pay $100 a month.
I've been saying
easy.
This for a long time.
I'd pay $100 a month for
it's
fiber.
It's cheap.
Well, you say they're free.
They are free. It's the infrastructure that's not. But, you know, you have
to amortize it.
You amortize
it's going to cost you money.
A little bit. Not much.
It's going to cost you something.
How about a $200 Android notebook? That's what Paul Ottolini at Intel says.
I think I have a $200 Android notebook.
You
a 7. It was $200. $199.
That's a tablet.
Oh, notebook.
Now, I don't know why Intel's in the business of promoting these, since the ones that we use are all ARM-based. They're not Intel chips. But I guess Intel feels that it will be making the chips for a new generation of Android notebooks. I have to say, I think Android's a pretty good operating system. I think it could be a notebook operating system with a little bit of work, right?
What about Chrome?
Haven't we been here, though, with netbooks? Like, haven't we just had a whole thing of, like, $200 notebooks that were kind of crappy really liked?
Yeah.
The $1,000 Ultrabooks are nice.
$1,000. This is something I do think that we have the unfortunate, thanks to netbooks, conception that computers should be just a few hundred dollars.
Yeah, it's bull crap.
And it's not true.
No.
You can't get the computer you want for it used to be $2,500. It's not that anymore anyway. What is the price? What is the right price for a computer? Is it $1,000, Will?
I think, you know, for a basic computer, I think $500 is a good level. I think $1,000 is kind of a, you know, luxury computer now. Like
yeah, it should be really nice.
Ultrabook.
Yeah,
and then a tablet should be like a couple of $100.
No. Oh. Please.
Well, they know. That's how much the Nexus 7 is.
Yeah, but it's the Nexus 7.
Well, the iPad isn't far off that. How much is the iPad in the States?
The mini is $399, and the full size is $499, $500.
Oh, $500. Okay. That's a bit more. But you can see in like a year.
Wait a minute. How much are you paying in the UK? Well, you got $100 iPads?
It's about the same, but it just feels cheaper.
Do you? Hey, Will, do you use an iPad? Is that one of your... weapons?
iPad Mini, yeah.
iPad love the Mini.
Mini.
Okay. I love the Mini.
Yes, the iPad Mini is the ultimate bar computer because you can just like hold it in one hand so you can do the taps with the other hand. Yeah. It's perfect.
I'm hoping that... I put a program called Talkatone on there.
Phablet? Make it a phablet?
And it's a phone.
Yeah.
It uses my Google Voice number. When somebody calls me on Google Voice, the iPad
so
Mini
have this
rings.
Giant phone. Do we have it in the studio someplace?
I love it. I don't, but it really is great. No, I don't usually hold it to my ear. I'll use the speaker. It's got a good speaker. I can use a speakerphone. It sounds fine. No, it sounds really good. It really works quite well.
Yeah, because a speaker in that format is obviously high fidelity.
You know what, by the way, and you were playing with my phone, but you probably missed this. This has stereo speakers right on the front of the phone.
And actually, I see that.
The quality of the audio on the HTC One is very good. I'm really, I love it. And this could, I Skyped with my mom on this. It was great.
You Skyped with your mom?
Yeah.
Huh.
Hi, Mommy. I love you. How are you, Mommy?
You know, your mom's a big fan of me.
She is. She says, did she write you an email?
No, you mentioned this before.
She says, I love that John C. Dvorak.
Yeah.
She does. She loves you.
That annoy you? It would bug me.
It pisses the hell out of
me. Yeah, I'm sure it would. I don't blame you.
I tell her, he's a dick. You don't like him.
The guy's a douchebag.
You don't like him.
Yeah. Hey.
Stop flirting with my mom. Intel has confirmed that finally Haswell will be out. They're going to announce it. It's the fourth generation Intel Core processor. It will. The ad said it'll be out in, what is that, 3 quintillion, 337 quadrillion, 200 trillion nanoseconds. That calculates out to June 3rd at Computex, the Taiwanese
Computex
convention. Ugh. June 3rd and 4th, which means that we will shortly after see Haswell computers. Haswell does a few things. It's improved graphics performance, but primarily improved battery performance. They even have a super low power Haswell.
Well, at least they changed the name to Haswell from what it was.
Waswell?
No, has been. Okay, sorry.
They've massively improved the battery life, so now it'll be like half as good as ARM, right?
Right. They're nowhere near ARM, I'm sure, but I do think the new Windows 8 tablets based on this, the new maybe Apple's based on this, will be better. You know, next week,
anything on anything happen. Other than A6, A7 from now on. Definitely
no
done.
For their desktops, not their iPads.
Oh, for the desktops.
Desktops.
Oh, yeah. Are they going to refresh the desktops one of these days?
One of these days, new. I would expect, given the announcement, that you'd probably see new Apple laptops in July. That'd be my guess. They're pretty quick off the mark with these. They like to be the first, in fact, in many cases, to use a new chip technology. I'll tell you what, we'll talk about it next week when Ryan Schrapp from PC Perspective and our show This Week in Computer Hardware joins us on Twit.
They seem much less interested in the laptop. I mean, when they push out a new laptop now, they Apple. Just sort of update the store. Apple, yeah.
Yeah.
They Apple don't even care about press Macintosh. Conferences.
It's pretty obvious, isn't it? They just don't care.
That's disgusting to me.
Well, they were a computer company, but that's so passé. We're in the post-PC era, don't you know?
Yeah, I've never been able to edit a video on the phone yet.
Yeah. Actually,
but it's really in Apple's interest, though, right? Because we're moving from a world in which Apple had, you know, what, less than 10% sort of market share of computers, where Apple is like 50% and up of computers.
Only because really computers are no longer laptops and desktops. They're,
right?
they're mobile.
Phones and
right.
And things. Yeah. So it's much better for them to be pushing in this direction.
I think overall it's not a good growth story for them, but they are actually, you know, doing one of the best of any of the computer makers out there, and the margins on computers are better than on a lot of other devices.
For Apple,
for the iPhone.
Not for Dell.
For Apple.
Most of these other companies, the margins are so non-existent they can't make money.
Yeah, except for companies that have success with Ultrabooks. HP did okay with one of its Ultrabooks.
So there's some margin in there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, interesting. This is an Acer Ultrabook. I love it. Windows 8.
You know, I've noticed something interesting about you in this thing because you've been evolving with it. And you have not touched the screen once during the entire show.
Oh, I saw him zoom in a little bit. Once or twice.
But I'll tell you one thing that has evolved on this.
When you poke
and
this
it's
thing,
not just
like,
me, but Microsoft, I think, is going to acknowledge this. Mary Jo Foley on Windows Weekly and allaboutmicrosoft.com revealed, her sources say, that Windows Blue, the next generation of Windows 8.1, will not only have a boot to desktop option, eliminating the Metro screen, but will have a start button. Now, The Verge...
But they won't have the start.
The Verge says, here's a Verge title, Windows 8.1 set to bring back the start button. May I make just a minor correction? There never has been a start button before. The start menu is not coming back.
Yeah, that's what we want.
When you tap that button where the start menu should be, it brings you to the Metro starting screen.
Well, so that's dumb.
So are they doing what people ask for or not? Because what people wanted is like the Windows 7
They want
button.
A menu! This is real. I think Microsoft blew it by saying we're bringing back the start button. Yay!
But it's not a start button.
It's not a start menu. It's merely a button.
Just a button
that brings you to the Metro interface when you tap it. Not now.
Well, the point is, when you just want to get out of Metro,
they don't. Nobody wants Metro, right?
Yeah.
So boot to desktop is good. They need the start menu, not the start button. And I think that they're misleading people, including apparently The Verge is a little confused. That start button, the only place there's ever been a start button was a developer preview of Windows 8. And I don't think when Microsoft says we're bringing back the start button, they say you all love the developer preview so much that we're bringing back the start button.
It's not a start button. You're right.
It's not a start menu.
Now you have, what do you have on
yours?
Well,
so I finally gave up. This is a Windows 8 machine. And I got so sick of the freaking start screen that this is a $5 utility called Start 8 that gives you exactly what you want, which is a start menu.
I use Classic Shell.
Classic Shell does the same thing. I like this. You still have access to this.
Yeah.
You can still do all of this. But I don't think people want to do all of that, frankly.
No, I think that
I think they want that. So that basically I have Windows 7 with the advantages of Windows 8 under the hood.
Right.
So how much time do you spend in the metro environment?
None. So I same thing with me. I never go to it.
The other program I'm using is it's called Modern Mix. It's also from Starduck. And then when I, so for instance, Twitter is a metro app, which is normally full screen, got to take over the whole computer. When I run it here, it runs it in a window.
Yeah, this is the one thing I don't think Classic Shell does.
Instead of that. No, Classic Shell does not do that. And so I highly recommend, for $10, you can make this look just like Windows 7. Which is exactly what Microsoft does not want to say, right?
They don't want it, people doing it. They actually want us to trudge ahead into this stupid imaginary world they've created. And suffer. I think they hate computers.
But there's, they hate us. They're standing down a little bit, though. They're saying, okay, boot to desktop. Well, and by the way, this is a rumor has not been confirmed by Microsoft, although Mary Jo has such good sources, I think it's probably accurate, and others have confirmed this. Paul Thurrott said so, too. It is a capitulation, at least in some regard.
Right, yeah. I wonder, you know, whether they will change direction further. I mean, Steven Sinofsky was the head of Windows, who was largely running this initiative to transition over to Metro and to really downplay the old interface.
Yeah,
now that he's gone, they pushed him out.
Yeah.
So, you know, it remains to be seen whether that was a result of the board, you know, not really believing in vision anymore.
Well, understanding about Sinofsky being ousted is that they couldn't get the newest version of Office to work properly on 8.
That's kind of bad.
That was my understanding. Really, I don't cash know cow for that else, company. But then they kept promising, tomorrow.
Paul Thurrott told me, again, another host on Windows Weekly. These guys are very well connected. He said he had heard from the Windows team that this was forced upon them from upstairs. That they didn't. That the Windows team really wanted to keep.
Well, my understanding is that the woman who became
Julie,
the market, who was at the Office section. She's the one who did the ribbon interface, which is another disaster, and she's the one that's behind all this. That's another understanding I have.
Anyway, this is the crappiest operating system ever. I can't now. This is. You saw me type, and nothing happened. This is just...
Well, maybe it's on the screen. It's on another screen.
I've been suffering with Internet Explorer all day. This thing, I can't wait to get rid of it. I'm sorry. And I know, look, I love Windows 7. I think I'm just going to put Windows 7 on this thing.
I think you're in the right...
Okay, watch. I'm trying to go back to our Google Drive. Oh, it worked. Of course, as soon as you look. Thank you, John.
Can't you get Chrome for
at
Classic?
That.
I can run Chrome on the desktop. The problem with Chrome is it's not using... It doesn't look as good. It's not using a clear type. Anyway, so is Microsoft capitulating? If it's true, if it's coming from the top down, this is the marketing department saying, we can't get businesses to buy Windows 8. You've got to do something. You've got to at least give us back.
Exactly. That would be exactly how
desktop.
It works. Yeah, somebody's moaning and groaning. They're killing us.
You're killing us here. We can't sell this thing.
But that's what I can't get, is that they're not doing it. It's like everyone's complaining, saying, hey, we need to make it more like Windows 7. We need to bring back the menu. And they're like, oh, okay. But then not doing it. They're not bringing back the menu. It's like they're even botching the thing they're doing to try and fix the botch.
They don't want to do it. They have some vision of the future that we are unaware of, that they're trying to lead us to.
Are they goofy?
Like the sheep that we are.
Are they goofy?
Are they goofy?
Are they wrong?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
No, here's where I say that. The Windows interface, which really was invented by the Xerox Star, so not the Windows interface, but the desktop metaphor, was invented in 1981.
Yeah.
And then Lisa and Macintosh and all the rest came along, and then right. Microsoft was reinvigorated in 1995 when they adopted it to an extreme and made a big hit out of Windows 95. It's now been so established, it's like having four wheels on a car and a steering wheel on the left-hand side or the right-hand side, depending on what side of the road you drive on, as opposed to a steering wheel in the middle, which would be more practical in both England and the United States because you could all be driving the same kind of car except in different lanes. It doesn't make any sense that you're going to start changing these models of use that are now so well established for like 30 years, essentially, from 81, let's say, to something crazy. It just makes zero sense to me. And that's my argument. I'm sticking with it.
No, I'm kind of with you. We've been saying that all along on Windows 8, and I think that there is a little bit of an admission from Microsoft, a little crack in the armor that maybe it isn't going all that well. Of course, we saw the results. They didn't break down Windows sales, but it's pretty clear that they did not have a very good quarter. Some may say, well, it's just the end of PCs in general. But I think you can blame a little bit.
But I think the problem is, if they weren't doing it, you know, the tech press would be criticizing them for doing exactly
right. That.
It's like, if they hadn't come out with modern UI Metro, right. If they hadn't come out with Surface, if they hadn't done all this stuff,
Microsoft's out of it.
Microsoft is behind the curve. Yeah. Microsoft is dead. Future is touch and tablet, and what is Microsoft? You know, Steve Ballmer is the worst leader ever. He's not getting Microsoft into, you know.
Okay, I'll grant you that.
And they go really aggressively for it. And I think, I mean, they have gone, obviously, really aggressively for it. And I think, you know, if they weren't doing that, we'd be criticizing them for the opposite thing. So I don't think Microsoft is, you know, everyone is ratting on them at the moment for this problem with, you know, with Windows Blue bringing back all this stuff, with Surface or with Windows profits being down. But I also think it's really worth noting that, you know, last quarter, it was the worst ever quarter of PC sales for like 10 years.
Down 14%.
Windows revenue was flat.
Yep.
So they basically outbeat the rest of them.
You got to read it more carefully. It was flat only because of an accounting flim-flam. They took some charges. Yeah. It would have been down.
Okay. So I still think...
No, you're supposed to say, sorry, I'm wrong.
I'll tell you, there's a third way. So there's a third way, Will. You said, okay, they could have not changed. They could have done Windows 7. Everybody said they're out of it. They're old. They don't get it. They could have then, so they did Windows 8 and they went all. What's the third way? Maybe make a good version of Windows and sell that. You know what I'm saying? Okay, admittedly, they innovated, but they didn't innovate well. What if they had innovated well?
Even just give people a choice, right? Even just give people a choice to say you can boot to desktop. They could pretty much get over all the problems that people have. Yeah,
by enabling boot to desktop. I think you're kind of a little bit onto something. Why don't they have the option for people to actually, when you install it, would you like this? Would you like that? Do you want this? Do you want that? Checklist, maybe a screen. Yeah, I want the menu. I want the start menu. I want this. I want that. And then it installs a customized version for you.
I'll tell you why they didn't do that. Because they're looking at Apple and they said, look how well Apple has done by telling the customer what it wants. Look how brilliant Apple has been. Steve Jobs never did any market research. And we're going to do that. And I think this is a really evil trend that you're seeing more and more across the tech industry, where these companies decide for us how it should be. They don't want to give us choice. You don't know what you want. We'll do this for you. And what they get is crap. And people are revolting against it. They don't want it.
Yeah, the problem is that Steven Sinofsky and Steve Ballmer haven't got the same taste as Steve Jobs, right?
Well, exactly. I don't know if Jobs could have continued to pull it off, to be honest. Apple has become very... authoritarian and patriotic.
Well, they've always been that way. Even with the original Mac, where you had the code for it.
Our way or the highway. Right. You couldn't use a Mac with the keyboard, with the menu commands with the keyboard at first. You had to use a mouse.
Yeah.
You know? One button. Hey, you never will need more than one button. And it took Apple 2 decades to get over that because of Steve.
Right. He liked the idea of one
button. And I think what happened is the cult of Steve...
The original Mac, by the way, didn't even have a keyboard, just had one button in the middle.
Just a big button.
You had to hit it a lot of times type with it. You know?
I think the cult of Steve has kind of permeated through the thinking in technology, and people are now saying, hey, it worked for Steve. We should be authoritarian. We shouldn't listen to our customers. Because I could tell you, even before Windows 8 came out, people were going, no. People were not happy about it.
It was perfectly in line with the Windows curse, right? Isn't it? Every other one is a flop.
Yeah, we'll see.
This is right.
I don't believe that stuff.
It's a cycle.
Yeah, but I don't believe that stuff.
Well, it's a fact.
That happened a couple of times. So
it's happened more than a couple of times. Okay. I traced it back to Windows.
Three point oh, good or bad? Let's see if it works.
Well, start from 95 maybe, because that's
No. Windows
95 good.
I actually had
Windows 98 SE good. They had to
Windows ME bad.
Yeah.
Windows XP good.
XP good. Vista.
Windows Vista bad.
2000 was good.
It's a little fuzzy. It's a little fuzzy. Windows 98 wasn't that bad.
It's no more fuzzy than Microsoft.
Well, Windows 98 SE came out to fix all the problems.
If you're
going to
make this work, it goes like this. Windows 95, good. Windows 97, which was announced and never shipped, bad.
Windows
98, good.
So ME, bad. Can do it. Skip SE.
You have to be. You have to finagle it a little bit, but you can pull it off. Believe me, I wrote a column in PC Mag about it. There's all of them listed.
It's just a little finagling involved. Our show today brought to you by our friends at Citrix, makers of Go. To meeting, accomplish more. Meeting is so important, but everybody hates meetings. Here's the deal. Nobody's in the same place. You got to drag them in. But you do need meetings. That's where things get accomplished. That's where projects, you know, that could take weeks kind of happen. Decisions that take days just get done right then and there. So this is why you got to meet, and this is why we use GoToMeeting with HD Faces. It makes it easy for the entire team to get online. Because you're screen sharing, you're all on the same page, literally. And now with the HD video conferencing built in, you're seeing each other face-to-face. It's just like being in the same room. And it's so easy to launch a meeting from anywhere, including, by the way, your not only your computer, but your smartphone or tablet. You can even present from an iPad, which is so awesome to be sitting out there in the backyard or the garden, as Will would call it. And you got your iPad, you got your headphones in, you listen to the birds, and then you say, hey, I want to show you something. I know teams that keep GoToMeeting running all day. That's one of the nice things about GoToMeeting. One flat monthly rate lets you have meetings as many times as you want, as long as you want, all month long. So teams will literally keep it open all day so they can work together. This is a great solution for anybody with distributed teams, anybody who needs to make meetings more effective, and I want you to try it free right now. By the way, so easy to start a meeting. You can do it right out of your email. It has built-in conference calling. You can have a phone bridge, or you can use the, and many people just use the built-in speakers and microphone on the tablet or the computer, and it just works so well. Try it free for 30 days. Visit GoToMeeting.com. Click the Try It Free button. The promo code is TWIT. 30 days free. Show your boss, your clients, your colleagues. Everybody loves it. GoToMeeting. We thank them for their support. Hey, by the way, it's hideously attractive, by the way. I've never used that phrase, hideously attractive.
Don't you? It doesn't make sense. It's a non sequitur. Yeah, I think you are making it up.
I think it's a Britishism.
No. Ask Will. He knows this.
They do that
in Britain.
They do that, the kind of the superlative,
yes,
the kind of backhanded.
Hideously attractive.
Have you ever, Will, have you ever said hideously attractive?
Hideously attractive.
See?
No. Is it sort of like a play on wicked awesome?
I think that answers the question.
Like wicked awesome.
No, it's not. Well, wicked awesome. Wicked awesome actually makes some sense. Hideously attractive is a complete non sequitur. There's nobody in the world.
It's an oxymoron.
You said it, now you're trying to defend it, which I find fascinating.
It's an oxymoron. CISPA's dead. Maybe.
Nah, bull.
So the House passed it. The Senate killed it as expected. The president said he wouldn't sign it. But apparently, our senator from California, Dianne Feinstein, is resurrecting it.
Yeah, she's a winner. Thank you, Di-Fi.
All right, I'm going to make an argument that CISPA is a good thing.
Okay.
So the and I know this is a counter to everybody in the tech industry except for Google, Facebook, Microsoft,
and the rest of them.
What do those guys know?
What do they know? So the idea of CISPA, which stands for, what does it stand for? The Computer Internet Safety and Privacy Act. Is that right?
Something like that.
The idea was that information that Google and others know about you could be shared in a free-flowing, back-and-forth way with federal officials to protect us against terrorism.
Yeah, it's corporatism, where your corporations and governments all work in the same model.
Tech, finance, and telecom firms combined to lobby the Senate with $650 million to support the bill. Privacy groups didn't like it, obviously.
A lot of money there, don't you think?
$650 million. Well, you know that we got the best Senate money could buy. And who said that? Will Rogers.
Well, they're definitely drinking well.
I think, though, that the idea, the notion that, let's think about Boston, that the notion of the information, if you could and analyze it right and use it properly, is there to protect us.
Okay.
And Quinn, how does it infringe on your privacy, after all? Does it really?
It does if I'm trying to protect negotiations on a merger and acquisition.
But they don't care about that.
Oh, bull. I think that's the only reason they go after this data.
So that's, I think that's
insider trading.
They already have that. I mean, there was a great segment on the Daily Show last week about how, you know, the Senate Banking Committee gets access to all the inside details of what's happening in the financial services industry and isn't prevented from trading on it, right? So I think it's already happening. The government is already monitoring all this stuff. And I think we've had so many, although this is, you know, a little bit different, there's a lot of concerns in America about the sort of, you know, the privacy state and the government watching everything. You know, private industry is already doing this, right? Google is already reading all your email.
Yeah,
you know,
so what? What's the harm if they have a little line in the Python script that says, and by the way, if he mentions blowing up the White House, send that off to the FBI. Yep. What's wrong with that?
What if the guy's doing a comic book?
Then the FBI will look at
How
it
about
and say
the guy
it's
who wrote
fine.
That? Well, maybe they will, maybe they
well,
won't.
Having just said that, I'm now going to go back in completely the opposite direction and say that kind of automated scanning can be a nightmare, because we had a case over here last year or the year before.
Yeah, those Twitter guys.
They
were
going
to dig up Marilyn Monroe.
No, it was the guy who said the airport in Nottingham is closed. Unless they reopen it, I'm blowing this place sky high.
Right.
You know, and he got convicted for doing
that.
That
was a classic.
It was like a terrorism threat, and you're thinking, but then I'm not sure that's a privacy fail so much as just a sense of humor fail.
Yeah. Now, by the way, I just said the phrase blow up the White House, so actually...
Yeah, you'll probably be on this watch list
for the
next 6 months.
As the chat room points out, I'm probably now on a watch list, especially if CISPA passes.
Try traveling to Chicago now.
Also, in testimony before Congress, a security expert from a company called Mandiant said, in 20 years of doing this, Kevin Mandiant, who is the head of cybersecurity for Mandiant, said, in 20 years of doing this, I have never seen a package of threat intelligence that's actionable. That it is, even if you know all this, it's not useful. It's like, and he says if you anonymize it, it's completely useless. I don't know.
Tough gig.
I think the terrorists are winning, and we've got to find a better way to fight them.
They're winning what?
I don't know. I'm just trying to stir up some
use Bitcoin over the Onion router to be really subversive.
I'm just trying to stir up some.
Well, you're not doing a very good job.
I'm doing a terrible job. We need somebody really good in here to argue for CISPA. I can't really bring myself to do it, to be honest with you.
Bring in Sergey Brin. He can argue for CISPA and also wear the Google glass.
Yeah, Google supports it.
Why don't you invite him on the show?
I think Google does it because they want to get off the hook. Like, well, the government made us do it. It's a law, so we're going to do this.
But the government already, you know, demands a lot of information.
Which Google says no to.
Yeah,
rarely. They follow through on close to 90% of
Google
U.S. requests.
Yeah, they have to do a lot of this, but Google would rather sell the information rather than give it away.
FBI tried to use spyware to infiltrate a suspect's computer. A federal judge said, you can't do that. They were going to install a Trojan on a computer in an unknown location to track down his fraud, somebody committing fraud.
Well, that's funny, because about 15 years ago, the FBI put a keylogger on some mobster's computer so they could get a password to find his second book.
And was that accepted as a...
Nobody said anything.
Judge Stephen Smith of Houston said it's an extremely intrusive tactic because the FBI doesn't know the location or identity of the suspect and could not guarantee the software would not end up targeting innocents. What if the target computer is in a public library, an internet cafe? Apparently they don't even know where this computer is. They just wanted to put it on somebody's computer. That's not so good. I'm glad he stopped him. Big success for Netflix. They've made a lot of money in the stock market. House of Cards apparently a success, but more importantly, their subscribers now crossing the 30 million threshold, making them actually bigger than HBO.
Good for them.
Stock market rewarded them. Big gain in streaming subscribers. I agree, and it's because they started creating their own content, right?
Well, it's one of the things. They also have a good cheap service that streams well, and you can get a lot of stuff.
But it hasn't always been the rap that you can't get the stuff you want on streaming. It's all in the disc.
If you get, you know, I've been looking at all the different boxes. So I've got the WD Live. I've got the box from
Apple has one. Roku has one.
I got the new Roku 3.
Nice.
Yeah. It's all HDMI, though. There's no other connections to that thing.
Well, what kind of TV do you have?
Well, no, it's beside
the old RCA console in the basement.
Well, I like to get clips sometimes, and it's hard to get HDMI to go through a situation where you get the output that I'm looking for.
Trying to capture the video for use on that No Agenda
show. NoAgendaShow.com.
Yeah, that gets in the pirate. Any piracy prevents you from doing that.
Yeah,
HTC,
yeah, it's
stuff.
A problem.
Yeah.
So anyway, meanwhile,
this is crashing all the time.
Meanwhile, these
this is Chrome. I switched to Chrome on. You're not responding.
If you have enough of these boxes, you can do quite a bit. The one I like the most, though, for people out there who want to get one of these boxes, if you have Sling boxes all over the world, is the WD Live, because it's got a Sling player in it.
Ah,
and so
that's
I can
nice.
Bring up the Australian Sling box and watch Australian TV on my big projector.
Did you leave one there when you were in Australia? How do you have one there?
It's a person that has one.
Gave you the password?
Yes. Yeah.
I just had in here a guy from NBC Nightly News. He's a reporter for NBC Nightly News. He does the same thing. He's got... Because he's watching local news all over the country.
Right, I do
He's
that.
Got slings. He's lent slings to all of his friends.
This is an underground of sling exchanges.
Interesting thing that, you know, the Netflix thing, Netflix are doing incredibly well, but they are so localized. The amount of content that you can get on Netflix in the UK is almost non-existent. Like, it's barely worth subscribing to. And I think with all these services, the Netflixes and the Hulus and all these kind of things... really, very few of them have any sort of catalog outside of the US.
So, what do you guys watch? What do you guys use?
Everybody that I know rents on iTunes, because iTunes is the only thing that has the latest movies and the latest TV shows available for download day and date. Like, iTunes is the only one.
I bet that's probably true all around most of the world, huh? Well,
yeah, so I subscribed to Netflix last month just to get House of Cards. It's like, I subscribed, I watched House of Cards, and now I unsubscribed because there's nothing else on there.
You know, it's interesting. Netflix themselves said that only 8,000 people took advantage of that loophole where you could subscribe free for whatever, a month, 2 weeks, to watch House of... Because they know. They watched every episode of House of Cards, and then that was it. They know it, and they said 8,000 people did that.
And it's great. I like it. And I like Netflix as a service.
But why should you pay for it?
Cheap, though.
And it's fantastic. But there's just nothing on it.
I don't think they really care. But I'm sure they were relieved a little bit to see that it was a mere 8,000 people that did that.
Yeah.
Reed Hastings, the CEO of Netflix, was at All Things D, and my browser has crashed, so I can't read you the quotes. So I've now tried Internet Explorer Desktop, Internet Explorer Metro, Chrome Desktop.
Reed, maybe you should reboot.
All right. What did Reed say? You tell me. I love Reed. I think he's smart. I know a lot of people think he made a big mistake last summer when he separated streaming and discs. I think he's a smart guy. I think
Roku came from them, right?
Yeah. The Roku guy was a Netflix guy.
I think he said at All Things D that the biggest problem that they face as a business is people's Windows 8 notebooks crashing when they're trying to watch Netflix.
Reed, you're so right.
Now, the reboot's going to be quite fast because Windows 8
SSD.
Actually...
SSD, yeah.
Yeah, and it's done. It's, yeah, boom, you're good to go.
Yeah, so everything should be good now, right?
Well, I didn't say that.
I was trying to be politically correct. You see these Macs? Mac. So I thought... I'm gonna be good. I'm gonna have a Windows laptop.
Yeah, I think that was a good idea.
Big mistake.
Well,
okay. You know what I can do though? I can put Linux on this.
Ah, now you're talking.
That's gonna be so much better.
Yeah,
didn't
that'll
somebody
do it.
Say the other day that because Android is now like the most popular mobile operating system, and Android is based on Linux, that this is like the fulfilling of the prophecy that Linux will become the most popular OS.
Except most people have no idea that they're using Linux.
They have no idea. I think that's hysterical. It's not just there. Every website, 80% of all websites?
Somewhere there's someone with a penguin modded into a robot as a mascot, you know.
All right, let's... Okay, this is it on this laptop. I love this laptop, but it's not reliable.
So the bet on content for Netflix has obviously paid off, but that's the same.
By creating content.
Now we understand they're going to do Firefly.
Are they?
That's what the rumor is.
Oh, I hope that's true. Wouldn't you love
that? There have been hints about
it. There's people in the audience who are jumping up and down in their brains.
It's going to be moved ahead, though, in time, so the dead characters from the movie...
Can come back.
No, they're not going to... Yeah, well, that... No.
Reboot.
They're going to just...
I want the preacher back.
Yeah,
oh, preacher's... Spoiler.
No, the preacher's dead. Everyone's seen the movie.
Joss Whedon said he wouldn't do it, though. So are you going to do it?
Why wouldn't he do it?
No, I didn't hear that. That's not what I said.
He's kind of busy making...
Yeah, after that's over, though.
bunch of Avengers movies.
He's not going to do it on the fly.
Come on, Joss. Come on. Firefly, Avengers. Come on.
And he likes doing TV.
He's probably going to do Star Wars after Avengers, right?
Well, JJ's doing. Is JJ doing the next Star Wars?
Yeah, but he could do like the next
no,
Star
no,
Wars.
No. Those two guys aren't going to do that to each other.
Nathan Fillion says, hmm, according to this article on his Twitter. I think Nathan's just looking for work. But wait a minute. No, he has that.
He's got a job.
That TV show he's
doing.
Yeah,
Castle.
Castle.
Yeah.
Why can't they put Firefly on Kickstarter?
They put Veronica Mars. Braff. How much did Veronica Mars raise on Kickstarter?
Right, 10 million Veronica Mars, 2 million from
Zach
Braff.
We got some guys in the studio here who have a new Kickstarter project. They want to make glowing plants.
Oh, by genetics? Or a genetic guy. Oh, yeah. Him, yes, of course.
Yeah, so...
The crazy genetic guy from Israel.
Yeah.
Yeah, I so think glowing plants would be cool.
He has a genome compiler website. And then another guy who's here has a site where it's like a 3D printer, but instead of printing, Lego pieces, it prints jeans.
Oh, like Levi's?
Yeah.
Huh.
And then there's two other guys, Anthony and his friend, who are in here, and they're going to... So what they want to do is they want to inject this gene from a glowing bacteria into a house plant.
Yeah.
And then you'll have a glowing house
plant. You don't need a night
light. You don't need lights anymore. Yeah. Your plants are just going to light your
way. Just have the whole thing covered with them.
Natural lighting with no electricity.
That is awesome.
Apparently, it's been done before. And, by the way, if you bid $55 for this...
You get a free pot.
or $40. You get the plant seeds to grow your own plant. And, unlike Monsanto, they're not locking it down. So you can just, you can give it to your friends. So if I get one, I can give it to you.
Okay.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
For $65, you get a recycled light bulb vase and the plant. For $80, you get a vase made from a low light bulb plus glowing plant seeds.
Do the seeds glow?
The seeds grow to glow.
But they don't glow themselves.
They don't glow themselves.
Oh, that surprises
me. The history of glowing plants actually goes back to 1986 when researchers made the first glowing plant, but it required the addition of luciferin. That sounds
luciferin. Luciferin.
That sounds. You mean is that the root of that Lucifer? Yeah.
He's
the bringer of light and Satan. I don't see, John. You gotta do a show on these guys. You're worried about the FBI. They want to make glowing plants from Lucifer.
Not worried about the FBI.
The devil.
So from the devil himself.
Boys are bringing back the
seeds.
Devil.
The seeds from hell.
So it's so. Oh, no. Are you gonna use luciferin?
It's
luciferin.
Yeah, that's to hide the origin of the root word Lucifer.
Beelzebub seeds come next.
They're going to call the
It's not going the right way.
You're killing him here.
They're going to make the plant. What are you going to name the plant?
It's the glowing plant. Luciferize
is the enzyme that does it.
Well, we have the God particle, right? So if we have the God particle, we should have the
Satan plant.
The Satan plant.
They're going to call it the Satan plant, though.
The Satan.
So you won't know. Anyway, actually, I'm being silly because I think this is actually very cool.
Well, it'd be nice if it was going to be. What size is the plant? Is it a big plant, small plant?
It's a look. Go back, Chad. Somebody it's that size. It looks like
it's
a little.
Big. I want a
it looks like
one.
A Swiss chard.
$400,000
glowing rose. How about a? Oh, okay. So here's the deal.
A ficus.
So here's
a
the deal.
A glowing ficus.
You can do this. We can all do this together. They've raised $124,000. They've made their $65,000 goal easily. They've got 39 days to go. They say if you get all they need is $400,000, they can make a glowing rose.
I want a glowing. I want some of the lights in the dining room. I want a glowing ficus. I want a big ficus plant in the corner that's glowing.
Can you do that?
We can try to transform it, but I'm not sure if it's.
They're working on it.
Who knows?
Google Kickstarter
really
and glowing plants.
The glowing rose, I guess, would be a great gift. Here. And of course, whoever you give it to is good.
Imagine you put that in your front yard, and your front yard is like glowing.
Oh, no. People are they're going to start burning the house down. Which?
This is...
If you go to glowingplant.com and just play the video, just 5 seconds.
All right, glowingplant.com.
I just love the introduction.
And we're going to show you the video. Chad, can you bring this? Oh, this is the website that will get you the Kickstarter project.
Well, why is this person? Why is this guy yelling at me?
Start at the beginning, Chad. This is the first 5 seconds is what matters. This guy yelling at us.
You know the main problem with plants?
What?
They don't glow.
Yeah.
Guess what? We're fixing that.
Oh! Boom! Boom! All right, you can stop it now.
Okay.
Is that Anthony?
Yeah.
Nice job, Anthony.
Anthony Carboni.
Wow. Boom! White House is launching its official Tumblr page. They promise...
It's about time.
...animated GIFs. The world is
going to be a cat running back and forth.
Well, there's one of Obama brushing his shoulders off.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Whitehouse.tumblr.
Like a boss.
Like a boss. He did that in the campaign last time.
Oh, yeah, this is
nice haircut.
That's from the presentation.
This is what they're putting on. Oh my God!
There it is. Go on, brush your shoulders off.
I understand the need to appeal to the young people. But really, can you see Calvin Coolidge doing this?
No, Calvin Coolidge would never
FDR?
Do this.
FDR?
I met him once, you know.
Calvin Coolidge?
No.
JFK having a tumble log with animated GIFs?
How come you pronounce a GIF when it should be pronounced GIF?
Okay, GIF.
Okay.
Hmm.
What?
I get to work is what I'm thinking.
Yes, I agree. Exactly.
Get to work!
There's other things to do with the taxpayers' money.
Well, it's free. It's a free website. But I just seem it. Come on. Where's the dignity of the office?
Maybe they're doing it.
Well, I think it's the DNC doing it.
Oh, there's the problem right
there.
It's
not our money.
So get ready because the feds want to make a little bit of a law about distracted driving.
It's about time.
Is it? Well, let me tell you what the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration is proposing. They say it's a deadly epidemic. Last time I checked, 3,000 people die each year while texting.
Ugh.
It's a lot. It's too many, but okay. Distracted driving, they say, accounted for 10% of all traffic deaths in 2011, 3,331 people. Slight increase from 2010. So the recommendations say...
Google Glass.
Well, I have a feeling Google Glass will be prevented. They want to have rules that will make it so that the driver cannot take his eyes off the road or hands off the wheel for more than 2 seconds each time and a total of 12 seconds to complete a task. That is bizarre. I don't even understand that.
Somebody did a study.
It's a study.
Can you even turn the AC on in 2 seconds?
Yeah. But no.
Depends on the car.
Yeah.
So it sounds like they want to eliminate all texting. That's fine, right? You shouldn't text while you're driving.
No.
My concern is they want to also eliminate all phone calls, but I don't see that in here. So really the idea is...
They won't get away with that.
They couldn't do that.
Yeah. And it'll be as long as you have like a hands-free thing in the car that you can access with buttons on the steering wheel.
They want the automakers to prevent... any text entry, any internet browsing. You probably shouldn't be browsing while driving.
No, I wouldn't think so.
Disable video functionality. No Skype, no FaceTime, no watching Lady Gaga. Prevent text-based information from being displayed, including web pages, social media, content, emails, and text messages.
I think that...
Go ahead.
I think it was a great... you guys had Justin Robert Young on the show last week, and he has a great PSA on the new Night Attack album, which is don't drink and text and drive. And I think that's very good advice.
I think good advice from Justin Robert Young, who's probably done all three at the same time. But this is interesting. No 3D or photorealistic images in your nav. It's too distracting. It's too pretty. Ah!
That seems odd.
By 3D, do they mean like holograms?
That means when they go like this.
Yeah, that's 3D. Two more studies coming up in the next 2 years to address mobile phones and other portable devices, along with a study on voice-activated controls. That's what we're chasing the audience out. Okay, let's stop. They're upset now. I didn't mean to upset you. They're leaving. They're all leaving.
Yeah, it's weird. Should call them out as they leave.
Yeah, if I had their names, if they were sitting in alphabetical order like I asked them to, I'd know who they were. I need a seating chart like your teacher had.
Yeah, or like they have
Mr. Million?
Why are you leaving? Why are you getting up?
Why are you getting up? Instapaper sold to Dig. Owner BetaWorks. I shouldn't have put a comma after Dig. That's cool.
Grammar's hard.
Grammar's hard. Camera's hard. Amazon beats profit expectations. Amazon now, how many employees do you think Amazon has? Don't look at it. How many?
40,000?
How many you think? Well, it's a game. It's
from
a new
the warehouse.
Game.
I think maybe, I'm just going to totally guess, maybe like just nudged over 90,000?
You read the article. 90,000. You got it. Bing, bing, bing. 90,000 employees.
Doing what?
Well, I think that's got to be.
Warehousing.
I think you hit the nail on the head. It's got to be the warehouse.
Yeah, warehousing.
First quarter profits, $82 million. That's a decline, though, 37% from the same year over year. But did exceed Wall Street expectations. I think you're making a profit. $82 million is not a lot on billions in sales, but it's not, you know.
No, their profits are virtually non-existent.
Is it because they reinvest or because it's just a tough business to make?
Live on the cash flow.
Bezos just isn't concerned with profit, and he's
yet
gotten this ruse where Wall Street will continue to bump up the price of his stock.
The
even
PDE, the profit,
I mean, stock is based
is
on future expectations. So the right. idea is once Amazon takes over the world, then right. They'll be able to make all the profit they want.
Right.
Their PE is, so Apple's was what, 9?
9.
Amazon's PE is 83, 84.
That's the price of the stock compared to their earnings.
Yeah.
Which is a little
that's
high.
That's more than Facebook. That's crazy.
Yeah, I think it's a record.
It's up there. No, it's not.
Netflix is 312.
312. Yeah, there you go.
There's a close.
There's a
that's
high
a
beat.
Little high.
Wow. It just shows you the stuff. You know, the stock market's making this stuff up.
Facebook's is 1,300.
What?
Is it?
Yeah. LinkedIn is close to 1,000.
Oh, man. And then people say, oh, Apple's in trouble when they get
actually,
nine.
The Facebook one is ludicrous because there's no way they have growth potential that would match that PE.
Right.
Well, if they turn out to be the next Google.
They're not going to, but
Google's at 23 right now.
It's reasonable.
Ladies and gentlemen, you can catch Ricky Gervais now on the... Is it officially a channel flip channel or just...
Yeah, so it's not brand. I think maybe there's some channel flip branding. I'm not sure if there is or not, but that's a big get. It's a good get, and you can go and watch it youtube.com/RickyGervais. You can also watch. We have a really great channel called The Multiverse, which is all like geek comedy, kind of nerd comedy, sci-fi.
Are you in a dental office, by the way, Will? Are you in a dental office?
That's his DDS diploma on the wall behind
him. Is your dentist office? Is that what you are?
Yeah. Sorry about that. It's my study at home. It's my little home office thing.
What is that letter behind you? Is that from the Queen?
It looks like a certification of some sort.
No, you know what? It's the press release from that came out when News Corp bought Channel Flip. I framed and put it on the wall.
That's the day he became a millionaire.
You should have framed the check.
Yeah, the check would be good.
You don't get checks these days, do you? It's all EFT.
Oh, just showed
up.
Didn't
give you a giant novelty check?
Yeah, a big giant check held by three people.
In the contract.
Okay.
Rupert has to turn up with the novelty check.
This is good, the multiverse. I like it. Is there money to be made on YouTube, or is that another one, a forward, future-looking...
If you work very hard and do some very specific things.
Because I look at these, I mean, I'm sure you put a lot of work into these videos. The Wrath of Ken, I'm sure, was a lot of work, a lot of money, 1,000 views. Not to knock
some
it,
some of
but
them have got more views than that.
You should get it, take a look. How many views does my Barney clip have, I wonder?
Oh, my God. Let me see. How could I find that on
just
YouTube?
Dvorak Uncensored.
Dvorak and Barney?
Dvorak Uncensored is the YouTube channel.
I bet if I just search for Dvorak
from
and Barney.
2006, yeah.
Wait a minute. There's a lot of Dvorak.
2.9 million views.
I have 2.9 million views on the Barney.
Is that Barney Demands Answers? No, that's another idiotic video. So you only fool him once, basically.
The other one's got like a half a million or something. Yeah. 2.9 million. Come on, people. We need to get to 3 million views.
Why, John? Why? I don't understand. Why 3 million views? This is a Barney doll in a bathroom singing.
Leo, you know you're going to get kicked off YouTube now for copyright infringement of Barney.
No. Oh, that's good.
No, that could have been kicked off by now.
Would you have a takedown notice if I play this on the show? Would you take me down?
Okay.
Okay. Now we got a deal. Anyway, channelflip.com and also the new Ricky Gervais channel. It's great to have you, Wills. Good to see you again.
It's really good to be here. Thanks, Leah.
Next time when I ask, just say, yes, it's a letter from the Queen and leave it at that. I think it would be good. Be good for you. Sir Will Harris. Will Lord Harris.
Yeah, that sounds right.
The podcast thing.
O-B-E-C-B-E. BBC.
QFC.
WTF. John C. Dvorak is the host of the No Agenda Show, noagendashow.com.
Yes, twice a week.
Twice weekly.
Yeah.
Now twice weekly. And I completely forgot. We'll get to that in a moment. And Mark Million from Bloomberg Business Week. We thank you so much for being here. I know it seems insulting. It seems childish and stupid, but I'm telling you, it's going to go viral.
The Droopy Dog?
The Droopy Dog during Bloomberg Business Week.
And check out our new global tech site, yes. Bloomberg.com/global tech.
Let me do that. Bloomberg.com/global tech.
Very
like
nice.
That, right?
Okay. Yeah. We'll make that a MIDI that we embed in the background. So.
And it should play automatically when people visit. Hi, welcome to Bloomberg.com/global tech. Now, ladies and gentlemen, Tom Merritt is going to join us. He's just on the other side over there.
I see him.
What's ahead this week?
Hey, Leo, here's a look at some of the things we'll be keeping an eye on in the week ahead on Tech News Today. Monday, April 29th is Future Insights Live in Las Vegas. Don't know what might come out of that. Tuesday, April 30th is the last day for Posturus. They're shutting down for good, so get your data out now. Also, Data 2.0 happens that day in San Francisco. Wednesday, May 1st is the LG Optimus G Pro event. Also, BlackBerry has announced the Q10 will launch in Canada on May 1st. Yelp has their earnings on Wednesday, May 1st. And that's also the day that Andre Borschberg begins his cross-country solar plane flight in the U.S. Thursday, May 2nd is LinkedIn earnings. And of course, next Sunday, is Cinco de Mayo. That's a look at the week ahead. Back to you, Leo.
Happy Cinco de Mayo.
Come on, we didn't mention May Day.
It's Wednesday.
He didn't say anything about it.
Do you
riots are supposed to ensue?
No. This is where we dance around a pole. Do you dance around a pole?
Maypole Day.
Yeah, that's May Day.
No, May Day is
you get the maidens. They hold the strings and they go over under, and you make a braid down the maypole.
Huh?
Right? Am I wrong, Will? You come from a country where they probably observe that.
Yeah, I don't make a habit of going places where people are dancing around poles.
You're missing out, man.
That's where all the... You know, the audience came back. Thank you very much. We missed you.
That's because of the guards at the front door. You can't leave.
Now what? He's holding up teespring.com/twit. Well, apparently, there's more yet to the show. We are offering a T-shirt. It's teespring.com/twit. $15. Yeah, it's nice. We got this designed by one of our fans. It's very nice. Fruit of the Loom or American Apparel, you choose. $15, good deal. Now, the deal is this is only available for a month, so 14 hours. 14 days left. So go get it. Teespring.com/twit supports our fine efforts here at Twit to pay our staff. Anything else? I'm not going to do the promo because it's boring.
Have you seen it already?
I saw the house ad, and I made an executive decision. This will not make anybody want to watch the network.
Sounds good.
Right? Have you seen it?
I have not.
Why don't you show it?
No. Let's wrap.
Right. Round-the-clock May Day coverage on Twit.
That's coming up. By the way, we will do a coverage in May, on May 21st of the new Xbox. We don't know exactly what's going to be there. There were lots of rumors, but we will have that live. And everybody in the chat room wants to...
They're just so sick.
We could watch it and then like rip it apart as it's going on and just decide afterwards. Should we do a Mystery Science Theater 3000?
Go ahead, roll it.
Yeah. Okay, here we go.
I don't think you'd want to watch the network if you see this.
Over here in these trees, there's
these two Wow, yeah, man. What is wrong with this? All the resolution is wrong.
Is it on a Tuesday or a Thursday?
This might actually be in the first Saturday.
You got something else running in the background.
Is the whole promo just someone playing Minecraft? Hardware.
Yeah. But all I did was plug in the power, hook it up to a GTX 680 SLI system that we have running graphics testing currently.
Well, get a background. Come on.
turn it on.
What is that, a 4K TV? That's so last year.
It has a 3840 by 2160 display.
Okay.
At a refresh rate of 30 hertz.
Know-how.
Don't tell anybody the iPhone is actually a UMPC.
Okay.
And this is back before there was an app store, and I thought this was actually the coolest thing I'd ever seen. It actually is a computer you keep on you. And I got a story about this. Paul Thurrott, back then...
Oh, this is nice. Why he didn't want to show it.
Nice 10-gallon hat.
It doesn't have a USB port. It's more like an entertainment
who
device.
Who is that doofus?
Like, who is this guy? Yeah.
That is
before
cool.
You buy.
And this looks like an old book.
No, just stop it, please. Just stop it. There's no reason to... This is going to make people not want to watch Twit.
$80. Now...
Thank you.
I don't know...
Now, I got to tell you, among other things, this week on Twit, we had Mitch Kapor on. We interviewed him about the beginnings of the PC industry and Lotus 1-2-3. Did that make in the promo? No. There's a lot of good stuff that happened this week. That wasn't it.
Leo, I think your mistake was that you should have interviewed Mitch Kapor in Minecraft.
Ah! Anyway.
With a 4K TV behind you.
That 4K TV, actually, that was kind of cool because that's the one that's for like $1,500, yeah. Right? Did they say if it was any good?
So he's in the process of reviewing it. So that was just an unboxing. They're going to run it through a lot of tests.
Unboxing.
Yeah, there's nothing like an unboxing.
Exciting.
We plugged it in and it worked is basically what he said. Yeah.
Turned on.
Yeah. Thank you, everybody. Love seeing you here. We do this show Sunday afternoons, 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern time. What time is it in the U.K.?
It's 11 p.m. in the U.K.
Late at night in the U.K.
Yeah.
And if you watch, well, then God bless you. If you don't, well, you can always get it after the fact on demand. We got audio and video available. Twit.tv or wherever finer podcasts are made available. Thank you, everybody, for being here. We'll see you another time. Another Twit. It's in the can.
This is amazing.